Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 161. Sorry. Everybody's trying to not laugh as I hit the go button. Or the, I don't know.
We're trying not to make second word out as well.
Pittsburgh Comics. No. He's trying to buy the store through damage, but not through damage.
This store's worth like $10 now. All this pop all over it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a hole eating through the
sticky.
Floor.
It'll
be like that Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Try not to spray your pop all over the store. It's preferred.
It's murkiest territory.
Yeah, that might have been what he was doing.
No, I'd normally do that the traditional way.
Oh, thank you. I feel much better now.
I have no
you
shame.
Drank the pop first. And then
yes.
The human traditional way?
Later.
The dog traditional way.
The classic method.
Yeah.
Golly.
You might want to restart this.
Yeah, no, we'll let this one go.
He's talking about a flag, everybody. Yeah. A flag. That'll do it. Move on.
Right. I'm Colin McMahon.
I'm Pittsburgh Comics.
I am.
I'm the law.
Damn it.
He's Pittsburgh Comics, man.
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam. And Colin.
Oh.
In case you didn't know, it wasn't Pittsburgh Comics, man.
Pat, do you have any news?
Sure. I got a couple things. The first thing was Valiant signed a deal with DMG
Big deal.
Entertainment for like $109
figure deal. Yeah.
To develop, they said, TV
movies,
and movies.
Yeah.
And they just said, and other, which I'm assuming probably video games or something like that.
I think this is the same company that partnered for production of Iron Man 3.
It
a
did.
A couple other things, yeah.
So it's actually a Chinese company, so my guess is whatever movies come out of it, there'll be kind of a Chinese subplot or a Chinese spin to it. Like the,
if you recall with Iron Man 3, they had like
they
those
had
extra
doctor.
Scenes. Well, they had extra scenes that were added in for the Chinese distribution.
Right.
So we may not see it like changed for the domestic
American
release,
audience.
But for the Asian release, it might be slightly different.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a very surprising announcement. I didn't expect to see that big of a move by them this quickly.
It was unexpected. Like, I wasn't expecting anything
no.
like that.
No. And my guess is, you know, the small deal that they had with Disney just wouldn't work out for them long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's Disney. They don't really need the money. They'll take the money, but they don't need the money. So they're going to sell, you know, a small part of the distribution deal,
mm-hmm.
whereas I guess with Valiant, they can get a bigger piece of the pie, and if they do well, then...
Well, I don't think this company has to just stick with one. Like, I don't think it's an exclusive... Like, I don't think the company that they're dealing with has to just work with Valiant. I think they can still be involved
right.
with other
right.
properties, too.
But, I mean, you know, as far as Valiant goes, they could probably work Valiant for, you know, 10% cut as opposed to a 3% cut that they can get with Disney.
Yeah.
So that was, as I said, it was unexpected, but, you know, good.
My only concern with that, and I mean, I'm happy to see it. I love Valiant, but I wonder if it's too much too fast, because they're still fairly, I mean, they've been around for 25 years, but they've only been, you know, relevant for modern comics for the past, you know, 3 years since they were bought back up by someone else and relaunched. So I wonder, they're still trying to get their footing. They only do like 9 books a month. Their audience isn't huge. So I don't know if this is, you know, going to be that lucrative in terms of box office numbers.
You know, and that's kind of the challenge with this. Yeah. Now, if they want to do smaller releases, then that probably works.
Yeah. But look at, I mean, when they released Iron Man was not exactly a hugely popular character.
Right, and I get that. But people... And you know, I guess
people knew him. Like, he was a more well known.
Right,
name,
he was
guess,
more
but...
well known. He had had TV series and all that before, and he had shown up in other things. You know, I think I'd be hard pressed to name, you know, more than probably 5 Valiant characters, and a civilian, you know, Colin's word,
mm-hmm.
a civilian probably couldn't name any Valiant characters. Whereas, you know. From DC, you know Batman, you know Superman,
mm-hmm.
those movies will clearly sell. You know who Spider-Man is, that movie will clearly sell.
That could help too, though, because if they market it properly, you're not going to have people that have this intense, like, ties to certain continuities or certain, you know, origins, and so it allows a little more flexibility to do what they want without getting all the backlash from fans.
and I would say that the only danger at this point is the glut of comic book and, comic book theme movies where, between now and 2020, they're looking at like 25 or 26 different movies.
Yeah, we are getting a whole lot.
That's a lot of people fighting for essentially the same dollars.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
I'm curious how they're going to continue to, like, stagger the release dates so we don't have them all piled on to each other at the same time. But
yeah,
but no, it's good for them. I mean, I hope it works out the way they think it will. So,
The Walking Dead spinoff was approved, and it's going to get a.
We've been hearing about that for like 3 years now.
Right. Well, now they finally AMC did a 2-season order for it.
Yeah, it's surprising.
I think they need to worry about their show currently.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I would say the
spinoff.
The last couple episodes have not been my favorite.
I haven't minded
this. I think this season hasn't been really bad.
It hasn't been horrible, but it hasn't been great.
I mean, it's been slower.
It has, and I can put up with it a little bit better in the comic book, how you got to build to something. But with the TV show, knowing that it's only, I think this year it's 16, but in past years it's only been 13 episodes to begin with, when nothing is going on for half those episodes, that bothers me. It's like either cut the season down to 8 or make something happen. Like, you have a lot of time to expand on characters, because there were episodes I didn't think I would like, like some of the stuff with, the Daryl and Beth stuff, which, who wants to see Daryl and Beth? But when you kind of saw the end, well, I know Colin does.
He likes the creepy stuff.
Yeah. We used to make meth back here. But,
is that what you like on?
But those
apparently
it's
in the cloud now.
I could have went in a complete other direction.
Oh, it's nowhere. It's still in that machine. So.
It's supposed to be set prior to the events of Days Gone By, the original pilot, and set in L.A. It's like it's supposed to be in the very initial days of the outbreak.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In L.A. So I just hope Bill Murray shows up.
I do, too. You can only hope that Bill Murray shows up as a zombie.
Huh? Yeah,
pretending to be a zombie.
Yeah, that I think would be perfect. So that's that. This, at this point, is a rumor, but Marvel Studios will not make a presence at San Diego Comic-Con this year, which seems strange. But D23 is this year, which is Disney's convention. I'm wondering if that's why they're skipping San Diego.
See, what I saw of that is basically it was a case of, we're too big for this. We don't need to bother with this again. That's how I read that.
We're too big for the biggest comic convention.
Comic convention, yes.
Well,
that's how I looked at that. Because why wouldn't, it doesn't make sense for them not to show up just with something.
Well, here's why I think they won't, though. Total guess. So, Civil War starts filming next month in April. They're not going to have a whole lot for that. By that point, Ant-Man will have already been out, so they don't have anything new.
When does Ant-Man come out?
June, I think. Or maybe it is July.
It's pretty close. They don't June or July. The movies that close together.
Because
Avengers is in May.
May and then July, yeah. So, they're not going to have
just
anything.
Just doing some publicity for it or something. But, just make it an appearance.
But here's the thing. DC is going to have, for sure, something for Batman versus Superman, and then possibly something for Suicide Squad. So it may just be, since they're not going to have something to really blow away fans, it's better to hold back. I think the D23 thing is in August or September. By that point, they would have footage that they could probably do it that
it
way.
Seems like a big missed opportunity.
They don't have to compete.
What? I see my wife.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Does that mean you have to leave? Were you
Unless
bad?
Unless she has treats, then it's, yes.
What? Did you have to leave?
I don't have to leave.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly there's a whole
She
article.
Doesn't rule him.
She's not the boss.
She may posted about why.
So what's the answer, Adam?
What's the answer?
I don't know. I'm not understanding. It just seems like the same.
Well, you got to read them.
No, I read it. It just seems like...
There's funny little...
There's a lot of big words.
It sounds like...
It is treats.
A lot of the same
awesome.
Thing that...
Did someone call for a ride?
Treats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What did we get?
They got other things.
We got, like, partial... We got remains.
They took cookies in for Adele's birthday
today. Oh, okay. So they brought us the rest?
And the
dance
class.
You know what this means.
What? Cookies on the couch.
Hey, this couch needs replaced.
Oh, so it's okay to rub the crumbs into the
no offense,
to the fabric.
If you didn't yell at him for the pop, you can't yell at him about crumbs today.
But you did know...
He ran outside before I could yell.
Well, I didn't want to leave the can here spraying everywhere. And I mopped the floor after the fact.
See? What did Adam do? He just ground the ice cream into the
cushion.
Well,
this is an old couch anyway.
Which is why there's ice cream ground into the couch.
Guys, there's cookies.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
So
you're missing the bigger picture.
No, you're right. You're right. Thank you.
So why did
we
double
chocolate? We have 11. How does that work? Okay, we get three, they get two.
I think they're just trying to pretty well say that
they're too big.
Yeah. It's just that they have a lot going on and with movies and the timing between movies and
stuff.
People
are going to comment on your movies anyhow. So there's no,
it's a lot of BS.
That's a good point. They
that's true, too.
No matter what they do,
yeah,
people are still going to go see their movies by their
but
stuff.
Who wouldn't want to go hang out in San Diego for a weekend?
I just didn't like it. Yeah.
So
it's like that's the thing. Like, that's where you're supposed to show up, like, for something like this. And now they're too good for that. Like,
it is what it is.
At least they're saying they're coming,
they don't
going there and just leaving it.
I'm not showing up, so whatever.
Yeah.
They might. You're right. That's better than showing up and leaving after not actually answering.
And they're
questions.
Just going to come in and tell us what they told Colin. We'll find
continuity
out.
Continuity doesn't matter.
We'll find out what's
you'll
gonna
see.
Happen.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll see. And finally, there was a second trailer for Daredevil that premiered.
Oh.
More footage.
Yeah. Okay, that's what Matt was all excited about. I didn't see it, so he was like, oh my god. I'm like, the first one was okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it looked different than what their cinematic style for TV shows has been.
They've been saying that these Netflix shows are going to be more adult-oriented shows.
They said they're not going to be R-rated, but they said, like, TV 16.
I never like it. And one thing I didn't like in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was when they mentioned every episode they'll mention an Avenger or somebody that's like in the Avengers. And then in this preview, they said the exact thing. And I was just like, oh. And they mentioned, they said, well, you know, if you don't have a hammer and what
or
is
an,
he,
iron,
or an
suit.
Iron suit, then you, that explains why you're getting your ass handed to you or something like that. Yeah.
But what was nice about that is
it
definitely sits it inside the MCU.
You can mention
those
it.
Characters exist.
You can mention it once like that, to show that it's all connected.
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. milks it.
Milks it, yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s approach.
That's why I didn't have a problem with
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s approach is, we're never going to be able to have these characters in this show, but we'll mention them a lot, and we'll show, like, clips on a computer screen from a movie.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's
a
Hulk.
That they're all connected, but we're never actually going to have them in here.
Yeah.
And it's Seth showed... Lady Sif showed back up in the show, I guess.
I didn't
just
finish
like,
it.
Okay.
I was trying to watch it today, but customers.
I didn't watch this episode, but last week's episode, like, the monologue at the beginning, Coulson, like, this is exactly, the writing in this show is so freaking bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I can't stand it. And especially after Carter.
Yes.
That was the worst thing you could have ever done is put Carter on for 2 months between that, because it just highlights how bad
is
how
Carter
bad
is. Temporary?
Carter was an 8-episode series,
but I think it's,
with the possibility of a second season, but nothing was confirmed.
I like it.
Quality-wise, really, I thought it was a lot better.
It was much better. The writing was better.
Yeah.
It's like they took that show more seriously than...
Well, and, you know, there you actually got characters from the movie. You know, Dugan showed up. And
it had so much more style and direction and costumes, and just because of the time period than S.H.I.E.L.D. has ever had.
Right, but that's, you know, you can always throw in actual Marvel characters in S.H.I.E.L.D. without spending all the money in, you know, special effects. The Hulk isn't going to show up, I get it, but you could have Steve Rogers show up for some kind of, you know, meeting or something. You know, he doesn't have to be in the uniform. You know who he is.
Well, they got Samuel Jackson for one episode to talk about a fish tank.
Yeah
exactly. You know, or other characters, a Moon Knight or a Punisher, someone like that.
Get Maria Hill
not
in there more.
Yeah.
Even her, like...
She's been on an episode.
I mean, really, is she that big of a star that she can't be
in?
Colby Smulders?
She was like How I Met Your Mother forever.
Right, so she's a TV actress, so put her on TV. Unless she doesn't want to do the show because she's like, this writing sucks. I'm not doing this.
That could be. They could be saying that the show is not great. We don't want to tie ourselves to it.
Work is work, but I still have How I Get Your Money, or How I Married Your Mother.
How I Get Your Money.
Good is good, but bad is better.
Good is good, bad is better.
Yep. Yeah. So that's it for Pat's news.
Okay.
You know, it's a bit better. Sorry, Pat.
Well, where's Adam's news?
I've been...
I don't have any. You took it off. Move on.
You stole what
little me? I'm trying to move on. You're rambling.
I'm telling you, go.
One thing, I've been posting all of Marvel's press releases. Everything now is for the June books. We just have the stuff for the May stuff. And mostly because I'm trying to get a reading on interest in some of these Secret Wars books. Obviously, I have nothing to add to it. I can't tell you any more than Marvel's telling us. Because hopefully soon I will see what is going on regarding, you know, the structure and everything that Secret Wars is. So I've been I just keep posting, hoping to get feedback, of that looks great. I can't wait to see that. That looks interesting. Things like that. But pretty much I haven't gotten those reactions. Like the Groot one yesterday. It was kind of like, really? We're getting a Groot ongoing series?
I am Groot.
That's
I
gonna Groot. Yeah, that's gonna
That was fine for one backup story.
Yeah, that's gonna get thin pretty quick. Yeah. I was just I'll go through the ones I posted, but I wanted to talk about what's in the previews. But I was sitting here as Pat was talking, looking at the cover of previews, which has the cover of A-Force One. And so I'm just looking at, and the one thing that bothers me is everybody.
Get off my plane.
No. Yeah. Every face is exactly the same, which is just really weird.
Wait, really?
Exactly the same.
Is it Fench?
No, it's Chung. Mm. But the other thing that I found...
Well, no, half of them do have closed mouths, so...
Yeah.
No, you know,
it could be the same they're completely interchangeable.
Yes.
They have...
Captain Marvel looks exactly like Jean Grey. You know, it's just... It looks exactly like Rogue.
They had characters in here that were, like, flying characters. Like, they put all their land characters on the back.
Black Widow's just jumping. You can tell by the way her legs
are.
And
then
she's doing a big frog jump.
What's Jubilee doing up there?
Hellcat. Hellcat flies.
I couldn't figure that
out. Yeah, Jubilee way up there. But the one that jumped out at me was Spider-Gwen. It's like, why is Spider-Gwen on this cover? She's, you know...
Maybe her Earth was destroyed in this whole thing. And
this isn't just a female Avenger team. This is every single female in the Marvel Universe is all on a team.
Yeah, but depending which dimension or reality. Yeah. That's that just struck me as very odd. It's like,
Except for Spider-Woman that they spent all that time doing, hey, she's got a brand new outfit. So what do they do?
Well, this must be a different universe outfit.
Apparently. Yes.
Or that one fell off the pizza.
But I'm just looking.
Well, they do have a Jean Grey.
That's gonna be one sucky pizza. I'll tell you that much.
Oh my God, her clothes fell off the pizza.
Better pizzas.
But I'm just looking. Okay, we got Squadron Sinister, which is okay. That's Squadron Supreme. I can live with that. You know, just a little different take. We have Giant Size Little Marvel AVX by Scotty Young.
Oh,
that's gonna fly off.
That was a one shot that did okay, but didn't really. Now these are June ones. I'm sure we'll talk about them again. But these are just the ones I posted online. And that has one like. Then my favorite from yesterday was Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos, and these are the Howling Commandos that are actually monsters.
They actually howl.
Yes, that actually howl.
These are the ones that Daredevil had just recently in that.
Oh yeah, I remember series. Yeah.
So they're not really even the Howling Commandos that they used before that were monsters. Right. They're like new monsters.
But I'm just trying to figure out how do I order that. Yeah. You know,
you don't
zero.
Don't
you know, Future Imperfect. Okay, yeah, Groot number one. Guardians of Nowhere. Okay, so it's basically Guardians of the Galaxy less Star-Lord because he's in a book with Kitty Pryde.
Speaking of Groot one, how many characters do you think will be in the Groot book? Because I hope there's a lot more than just Groot in the Groot book. Because I want to be the writer with their Groot book.
That'd be a great experiment.
They pay for that? I'll be like,
if Marvel released a book that only had the text, I am Groot.
Yeah.
With different sound effects and whatnot to see how it did.
You know how they did the Pizza Dog issue of Hawkeye? That's how they're going to have to tell the story.
It's going to be a silent issue?
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at these. I'm just like, I don't know. So I just kind of wanted to go through the Marvel previews, the new one.
Detective did the same thing at the same time, voiceless.
Yeah, and then Marvel did a thing called Enough Said back early 2000 that was basically their silent issues.
Now, with this one, there are a couple really weird moments going through the new previews. So Secret Wars is right in here up front. Well, I just had to put in my final numbers for this. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Normally, I have to do that 3 weeks before the book ships. Well, if Zero isn't shipping until Free Comic Book Day, this is coming out the week after, why am I putting in my numbers 2 months early? I was a little confused about that one.
Because they're going to have to print.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with this one, they showed a couple sample pages that are just the weirdest things ever because they're all in gray. And there's this bizarre panel of somebody pointing at Mr. Sinister, and it's just, it's...
Hey, look, there's Mr. Sinister.
But not just that, but he's making this weird face and this weird hand motion, just really weird.
It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Mr. Sinister? There he is, I found him.
So we have the last days, and the fun thing I'm enjoying, too, is the incentives on some of these. Like Captain America and the Mighty Avengers 8, if I exceed 200% of my order of 6, I can get a special discount. It's like, why would I order double what I did a couple issues ago. That makes no sense.
See, you have a bad attitude. That's why
But why do they think that issue 18 is going to sell twice of issue 16?
Because they're marked.
Because it's part of Secret Wars? Yes. No, thank you. So we have Inhumans Edelan Rising, which is now our third Inhuman book. Yay!
Gotta do something with Charles Soule.
I know, but do we need three Inhuman books? Okay, Ultimate End, it was funny.
The other ones are doing so well.
I was listening to a podcast, and they're like, you know, and all the Ultimate fans are going to want this. I'm like, okay. Sadly, that is a dwindling number. I wish there were a lot of Ultimate fans, but they've kind of done that to themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, Master of Kung Fu, it's a miniseries. Okay, I can live with that.
Didn't they just have a Master of Kung Fu miniseries?
Yeah, it did not do well. Yeah, we were talking like three copies.
Yeah, so why bring it out again? Unless it was...
Well, because it's Secret Wars, man.
Well, right, but they have to pay someone to write this. They got to pay somebody to draw it, and they got to pay to print it.
So.
Frank Avila should be doing Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, he's just doing the cover. But so now we have Secret Wars Battle World, which is a MODOK book. Because we really need
a lot of MODOKs.
A MODOK book.
Yeah. I like Galacta-MODOK.
Yeah.
I like Spider-MODOK and Silver Surfer-MODOK.
So how do I order a MODOK book? But wait. The good thing is there's two.
You just tell Johnny.
And that one
order.
MODOK on the bottom kind of looks like Kang and Kodos from The Simpsons.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a neat cover and all, but...
Oh, that's a Clue MODOK.
That is a Clue. You're right. Okay, so then we have Secret Wars Journal featuring Lady Kate of 1602. Really? Okay, 1602 came out in what, 2001, somewhere around there? It was supposed to come out, maybe later. It was supposed to come out in 2002, but it was late. But I'm like, okay, you're barely tangentially, you know, and oh, well, of course, I know Prudence Shen and Luca Pizzari, so that should be great. So I'm just looking at these going, how in the world do they want us to order these? I was looking. The Deadpool Secret Wars number one. I enjoyed very much. You have that, the action figure variant.
Yeah. How many of them do you got to order?
In order to get that, I have to order, I think it was 150% of a previous issue of Deadpool. But not just a few issues ago, like 8 months ago, when Deadpool was still selling really, really well. It's almost like they acknowledge that Deadpool sales have gone down. So they're asking us to hit this number. I think 42 just came out, and I think we have to hit issue 36.
Because the next one gets renumbered to 250, and that's the last one.
It's a $10 book.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And for that one, in order to get the variant, you have to hit this really ridiculous, like 200% of something. I'm like, this is a $10 book. That ain't going to happen.
No.
So. Ugh. Inferno number one. Okay, random X book. I can kind of guess at that. Infinity Gauntlet. Okay.
There's a lot of boobage, though, in the Inferno book.
Yeah, there is.
How do those ones even stay in there?
Yeah, well, you know, she doesn't do a lot of running.
Or jumping, or pretty much any. She just sits there on Cyclops, or on Colossus's shoulder. That's about all she can do.
Okay, Old Man Logan, like where Wolverine was selling. Secret Wars 2020-99. Okay, I can make a guess at that. Where Monsters Dwell number one. Now, granted, it's got Garth Ennis, but this one seriously just looks to me like a copyright grab to keep that name. A-Force. It's going to get some buzz, especially from the View. Oh, wait, no, they forgot. But
yeah. Man, we need but I think when people realize target audience
that it's not all of our heroes.
He's still better than you watch for a reason.
It's heroes from some other dimension or other battle world. Now, we have Planet Hulk number one, which is Cap and Devil Dinosaur. Looking at the battle map, they've also announced another Devil Dinosaur book is going to be coming. Because not Planet Hulk World, it's Valley of the Flames. How many Devil Dinosaur books do we need?
Apparently two.
Spider-Verse. Okay, that's really cool. Except, I can tell you after reading the last issue of Spider-Man, it's going to be those three Spider-Verse characters that couldn't go home.
It's definitely that.
Right. It's just going to be Mayday, the British one, and whatever else. And it's going to be their story that nobody's going to care about or want.
What's with... But they're showing Spider-Man Noir's eyes.
Yeah. But it looks like they're looking at him on TV.
Cookie!
Yeah,
that's
it. He's like Cookie Monster. Usually it's just black. Like, they actually added eyeballs on their cartooned eyeballs.
Yeah, that looks odd.
They are both pointing the same way, so I have no complaints.
Yeah, so he's good with that.
Then MODOK Assassin. Come on.
Is that the same MODOK book?
No, there's two MODOK books.
So we need two MODOK books, too. Inhumans Annual.
Well, now here, what I enjoy is it a Secret Wars book or not? I don't think it is.
It doesn't look like it is because it says Inhumans up at the top.
These Inhuman hierarchy.
But I think they put it here intentionally to make you think it was because after that you get into Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
It's nowhere near the other Inhuman book. So basically, what I'm saying is if you're interested in any of these Secret Wars books, please let me know because I have no idea how to order this stuff.
This is a really weird cover.
What's with Luke's face?
That's what I was just going to say.
Colin
pointed
that out when he got me.
Looks like somebody's
even Han Solo was like, oh.
Yeah, what the?
Leia actually doesn't. She looks normal.
Yeah.
she
looks completely different.
Right, but it's like he has like manga eyes. Something's up with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Han's making a weird face.
Mm-hmm. He's got that who farted face.
Yeah.
Here's
Chewbacca.
Damn it, Chewie.
Yeah, then we got Avengers versus number one, a one shot. Gosh, why do we have just some random Avengers book coming out in May?
Another versus?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's going to be a fight book because we have one, two, three, four artists.
Versus some of their all-time greatest.
Oh, four short stories featuring Red Skull, Atuma, Loki, MODOK, and more. So that's three MODOK books.
Yeah, and they got old school Falcon with the old red and white spandex.
Yeah,
but everyone else seems the modern.
He pulled
out
his old uniform.
Uncanny Avengers, Ultron.
Something's
Forever. Very
wrong with Cap in this picture.
Yeah.
It's now a black woman?
Yeah.
it's
Rhodey as Iron Man. Yet we still have, and we have a Thor and a She-Thor. I'm all confused.
Thor and Thora.
Is this part of Secret Wars?
No.
No, this is something completely different.
No, this is just Ultron Forever.
I didn't realize that Falcon was transgendered.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Well, they didn't announce that on The View. How am I
supposed to... Some things fall off the pizza pat.
How am I supposed to... No sausage. Moving on.
No, we're just into the regular books, which is fine. Nothing too exciting. Just your regular... That was the end of the
What's
number one.
What's up
ones.
With the Amazing Spider-Man and then the 18.1? Uh-huh. It's like they're running parallel stories.
And it's Jerry Conway, which makes me wonder if it's a file story that they're just putting out there.
Well, but this is that spiral thing, which is running through, it's like 16.1, 17.1, 18.1. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you running parallel storylines?
They do that because Diamond codes the book as Amazing Spider-Man. So it shows up in my system that I have 30 holds for that book because it's instead of giving it a mini-series or something like that, it's technically Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, but the Amazing Spider-Man is not even being written by Slott.
Right, I think Slott's off it finally.
Like,
Really?
Well, he's not writing it, so.
Well, yeah, but Christmas Gage has filled him before.
Yeah, yeah. But they've normally co-written. I don't remember seeing him not writing it.
He's been off altogether for annuals.
Oh, and here's another one of my favorites. Here we go.
Night Nurse.
Yeah.
You know what, though? She's going to show up in the Daredevil series.
Well, notice the cover. Okay, because it's collecting Night Nurse from 1972, 1 through 4. Okay, but it has Luke Cage and Iron Fist and
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, who Jessica Jones did not exist in 1972.
Well.
So why is she on the cover?
She exists.
Now, she may have been in this Daredevil 1980 one they're reprinting, but it's just interesting that she has a TV show coming and all of a sudden she's on the cover.
Well,
of
maybe
the book.
That's all. I can't believe you didn't talk about Tales of the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Well, we can keep going with that.
Also, there. Iron Fist is wearing his newest costume, isn't it?
Now, we do have Uncanny X-Men 600. Yeah, that is. That's a very good point. Uncanny X-Men 600, the Bendis last one, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 covers. 11 covers.
Yeah, it does look good.
Yeah.
He wants Spider-Man dead. That's what he's trying
to. Oh, there is no Inhuman issue. Okay, so that is that Inhuman annual. But it was just interesting.
But
that
it's weird.
It's all the way
it.
Up at the front with a different color, a little header than anything else. So, but yeah. My only point is, please let me know if you want any of that.
Because
I am lost.
You. Come in here and order it.
Just tell me if you're interested. You don't even have to order it. Just I'm trying to gauge anybody's interest.
Everybody's going to come in here. I'm interested in it.
Why Samus in Superior Iron Man?
Cancel it.
Who?
Samus.
Who's Samus?
Metroid.
It does look like Samus.
Justin Bailey.
It's Rescue.
Rescue,
yeah.
Oh.
It looks like Samus, so. Samus is after Colin's time.
Yeah. Besides,
and one thing I did, I totally enjoyed.
He always typed in Justin Bailey anyway, so he did in the bikini.
On this one, they're doing New York City variant covers this month, just as a dig at DC because they're moving. I just find that so funny. Only, who cares?
Yeah, sir.
Do you want a New York City variant cover? No.
No, Colin, I don't.
But I'm just saying, that's a fairly narrow people who are going to even care about that.
I do,
that.
Because you're going to have to order like 800.
Well, right. I will have to order
800% of all
but,
new X-Men.
But next
numbers.
Year
they
when...
like taking these little digs.
Yeah, but next year when Disney moves them to California...
Yeah. Allegedly... Man, if they don't move next year, you're gonna have egg.
Oh, I'll
all
be. I'll have. All I will have egg on my face. But I'm just saying. What you know?
That's why
are you making
out of
these
thing?
No, I didn't say a word to them.
This is what I'm excited for. Daredevil, Frank Miller,
didn't give
them
a chance.
Back in print.
Well, they're not necessarily back in print. This is just saying this is their backlist.
Oh.
We have these. You can't order them.
Yeah, that's not necessarily anything that's being offered. But let's see, how many Ant-Man trades are they offering? 1, 2, 3, 4 different Ant-Man books.
Ant-Man
5.
Dude.
Ant-Man 5 novel. Ant-Man trades coming out in May. Okay. Because the demand is there. No, it's not.
This is Guardians of the Galaxy list.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is a prose novel. Okay, yeah. A prose novel of Ant-Man,
I can see how that'll sell.
Yeah, it's going
to
sell
to
great.
No one.
For $25.
Mm. I don't read real books with that $25.
Well, then we got some Avengers. Oh, man, they are beating this Guardians of the Galaxy to death.
It's funny, they got Nova wrapped up in this and Captain Marvel and the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Sure do.
I feel like the only stuff that's really going to make much of a huge difference in the Secret Wars thing is this Ultimate Ends book, just because it's the last of the Ultimate. It seems like it plays a big part in the whole... I don't know. But it plays a big part in the new creation of whatever they're thinking they're creating with this pizza. And then...
Well, it is
Battle
part
World
of the pizza.
And I think that's about it.
Everything's
like,
part
else
of the
I can
pizza.
See that's like...
Yeah, I'm just...
Was something so scrambled of a story without them giving us any idea of, like... what's going to be, like, don't tell me everything's going to be irrelevant, because I don't buy that.
The part of my problem is, are these just one shots? Because I guess I need to wait to see the June.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. So, either. Like, their regular books are coming out at the same time, so it's...
It doesn't make it sound like everything's
really
stopping.
Ending.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they claim. But then, you know, so Secret Wars clearly, well, no, we know Secret Wars is, but some of these are minis. Like, the Ultimate End is one of five. But in, but then you get to,
so that's one of four.
But Inferno is one.
Yeah.
So is it a one shot? Is it an ongoing? Is it just going to continue during Secret Wars? Is it going to continue past? And I get that they don't want to give away their story and everything, but it's like, I kind of need to know. You know, people want to know.
They should make a story.
You guys
want
to know before,
like,
you jump and commit to something.
Summarize in a way that's
we
not
demand
worry
to know.
About.
Right.
Because we demanded it, they're not going to tell us.
So I'm just confused. So help me. Yeah, if you can make heads or tails of it, let me know too. Because you'll see is not a good way to order books. Because it was funny, the podcast that I was on, they had a new guy on this week, and he's like, well, you know, once they come out, we'll have a better idea. And the guy's like, that doesn't help me order them. He's like, oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, from a reader's perspective,
yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, if I read Inferno 1, I'll know at the end of that whether it's continuing or not. But
I'm like
trying
to know,
figure out how to put my
I'd
number.
I'd like to know what I'm kind of planning on getting, though, what's going to interest me. And, well, like, nothing really seems like... It's interested me earlier on.
Well, that's one thing I pointed out to somebody was, what did we figure out? I have 11 people want all of Convergence. I have 25 people want the Convergence, just the miniseries itself. And guess how many people I have signed up for Secret Wars right now?
Goose egg?
Zero. Because nobody...
I don't even know...
Well, I can't do a sheet. I don't know what's coming.
Well,
you know, I'd love to,
crazy.
But these orders are due in 2 weeks.
Like,
you know?
Well... I'll tell you right now, like, Secret Wars, I would have... Well, is
I'll
that
probably
the Battle World book? Is that the main book?
That's the main book.
The main book.
Not the Battle World
read,
book.
So
it's just the main book. Then there's Secret Wars Battle World.
Is that, like, a
Is that the one
book?
You want? That's a MODOK book.
Oh, I don't want that.
Oh.
I just want the main book.
Yeah, like, I'll probably read the main book, but none of these other ones have
But so
really
far,
grabbed.
No one has... I haven't signed anybody
Maybe
up on the computer.
Deadpool Secret War, but only because it's Deadpool
and
I'm a Deadpool,
Deadpool
guy.
Why do they call this Secret Wars Battle World anyways? Because that just...
They don't. No, this is Secret Wars Battle World.
Yeah,
this
but isn't the planet called Battle World?
Yes, but this is the That's special book with it. Just the battles, because... They can't fit all
it's
the
like
battles just
into a
in the
place
book.
Named Secret Wars,
yes.
And you're asking for the Battle World.
Well, I'll
right.
just take that. Okay, then I'll
and that's
just...
like the special calzone.
Yeah.
Then I'll just order.
It's two crusts. It's like a pizza sandwich.
Pizza.
And they say, "All right, now we're going to."
They can't
our
guarantee
cart, the they, on this one. That's what you.
You're
get.
Not guaranteed your topping choice.
Yeah. They might fly over.
Isn't there a bucket too?
There are buckets. Yes, there's the Battle World bucket, the War Zones bucket, and the Final Days bucket.
Looks like MODOK. Well, it's just if Battle World is like the versus book for AVX, then I'm definitely gonna pass because
no,
of their
but
formula
it's gonna be
the
best
of the we couldn't fit the battles, but then they weren't able
yeah,
to
they,
connect
no, that's what it
very
says.
Well
yeah.
in the
yeah.
stories.
That's what it says, featuring the fights, battles, and blowups that are just too big for Secret Wars.
Yeah, pass. I will tell you right now. I'll get the main book.
Okay, that's one.
You have one.
Because yes. I want to know what's going on. And I might get this, Ultimate End. Just because it's the whatever they're doing with this pizza.
It's the maybe the end, because Ultimatum wasn't the end. Cataclysm wasn't the end. So maybe this will finally be the end of Ultimate Universe.
It's going to be one universe. That's what he told me on that screen about pizzas.
Tom
Brevoort. Tom Brevoort was
apparently
so excited
is he
about
selling
his pizza.
Pizzas now?
He eats a lot of pizzas,
apparently.
I'm sure.
Apparently.
But like
that's why you shouldn't do press conferences at lunchtime.
Yeah, that's what it was. Master of Kung Fu, like there's so
It's
going
to be crucial. It's going to be crucial to Battle World.
But here's what they just secured that copyright 6 months ago. We
don't
need
know.
This.
No, that was Deadly Hands of Kung Fu.
This is different.
This is different.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I stand corrected, apparently.
I'm not excited for anything in this book right here.
No. You know, people do, you know, I get accused of being a DC store, but I'm hearing that more and more. People going, just, I don't know what Marvel's doing anymore.
I don't want to think. I just want to read them and enjoy the stories.
Previous gives you a free.
And I think that's one nice thing that I really liked about what DC is doing, at least what they said. I was reading an article about the 8 things they learned from all the DC's announcements and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's just they just want to tell good stories, and that's what they're basing it down to. They don't want to do events where you have to buy every part or stuff. They just want to, and if they're going to do an event, it's going to be a crossover between two books that it's just for that story. They don't want to do the big
line
events.
Wide.
Yeah. Well, and they really haven't done a line-wide book since.
They have not.
Because even Forever Evil wasn't line-wide, though.
No, but there were tie-ins on that one.
Tie-ins that made sense, though.
No, they did. And I enjoyed the tie-ins because they had the Rogues were defending Central City. That was really good. And then the Arkham one, where Bane was taking over Gotham, that was really good.
Like, what was the most recent Marvel event, Axis?
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost every single book had, like, a 3-issue crossover with it, whether you're reading Axis or not.
Yeah.
That's been Marvel's formula.
See, with Original Sin. Original Sin
that
had
a
tie-in. That's what made me stop buying Uncanny X-Men and
the
Guardians.
Last Will and Testament of
that's why forever we've criticized Fear Itself, because that's when, like, they did that so much. It was just like, what happened to Iron Man? You know. Yeah.
Well, but they did that during Civil War too, but it made sense.
With
there.
Civil War, though, it was like it made sense for the story. If you can't structure your event towards what's your story and why it's going to matter, like I can't, and that's why I'm judging a lot of what's happening with Battle World, you know, of getting it, because I'm looking at it and I'm saying, these seem so random, why does it make any difference?
If the book that you're currently reading directly leads into the event, leads into what causes this event to occur, then it makes sense that it would tie in with that book. And you know that it's going to because you've been reading the book.
Yeah.
But if you're reading something that's completely unrelated, and then suddenly because this event is going on, your book is suddenly kind of tied in for 3 issues, that doesn't... doesn't make sense.
Well, break down Civil War. You know, Civil War starts with, you know, well, we were talking about, because he got in Civil War New Warriors, and you're reading and looking at it, it's just like, this isn't like a prelude to New Warrior. Like, it happens in Civil War. You know, they're just in it. So,
yeah, you see.
So that's their new formula of doing stuff. But how they did it was, like, they brought out that book. Civil War, that happened in that. Then basically how I would always get Avengers or events is I would get the event book, the Avengers book, or whoever really strongly tied into it, whatever I usually get anyways. And then you're good. You can get that. But like, it's gotten so like, it doesn't really make any difference. Like they'll just put it in it just to do it.
Yeah,
and
like,
it doesn't have to. Why continue your story? But, you know, I don't care if Battle World was happening at the same time. That doesn't bother me as much.
Well,
you know,
they
that's
had
why
AVX
reading...
books that, you know, it was like Wolverine and the X-Men, and this is an AVX tie-in. And they mentioned something that Wolverine did, you know, on one page, and that was the only mention of anything that's going on. It's like, okay, this wasn't really a tie-in. This was a cash grab.
Yeah.
And you're not really even telling the story you wanted to tell. So what's...
Yeah, that's one of my biggest complaints with Marvel. Like, I love Marvel characters, but don't just create... Don't just throw stuff into books just because you think it needs to be in there or you want it to be in there. Give it some reason. Yeah. I'd rather read a story, and I think I could be wrong, but I think the majority of people read books... I read a lot of these books for the story more than anything.
Yeah.
And
why else would you be reading it?
Yeah, exactly. And it just...
Unless you're just that much of a fanboy for that character, you're buying it
just because
it.
It's that character. Yeah. So, you know, I can't stand it when they derail stuff. Like, what was DC's Forever Evil? It came out and...
It's in Justice League.
And Forever Evil kind of...
And then when it touched Suicide Squad.
It had its own book, though, too, right? Forever Evil.
Forever Evil had its own book, and then basically the 3 Justice League books.
And then there's many series.
It wasn't all
3.
I thought it was just the main Justice League book.
It was
but you're right. No, it was...
Blight was in Dark.
Yeah, that's... Well, no. But yeah, Blight was in Dark.
JLA had this stupid Martian Manhunter and Stargirl.
And Stargirl.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
What are you talking about 3... books?
Well, that was Trinity War I was thinking of.
And JL Dark.
Oh, okay.
When they did Trinity War, all three of them tied in.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. During Trinity War, they did.
But usually, well,
Trinity War was just
like,
through those three.
Right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like you could read Aquaman and it was going to be in Trinity War.
Every single other book, aside from the Justice League books, followed as normal.
But it was a Justice League event. That's why, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Like, that's why I always like Marvel's old formula when they did that, which you read Avengers, it was an Avengers event, you were good. But now it's so much has to be tied in, or they end everything and do this kind of
thing. The only thing that didn't make sense with DC, the only book that should have tied in a little bit more was Nightwing, considering what was going on with Dick Grayson in Forever Evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget what was going on in Nightwing.
Like, everything was business as usual until
he was
until the last issue, yeah.
And then suddenly it was like, by the way, they all think you're dead now.
Well, and
it
the last so issue was delayed
if you were
for a
just
couple
reading
months,
Nightwing
too.
And not anything else, you would have no idea what was going on.
Because it seemed like they were doing this whole thing where he was living in Chicago now, and then at the end of that issue, it was,
there was some
a little
kid,
girl figures out who he is.
Well, that
is.
Was the second to last issue. That should have been the last issue. That was Kyle Higgins' last
issue. Oh, the last
issue,
issue was that
fighting
one.
Batman.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that's the last one was like the fake number one for
I'm just
for
Greg.
Right, and that
the
was they held
like,
that issue up for I think 2 months because Forever Evil slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it just I don't know. There's just a lot of randomness in this, which I don't think is like I don't think this is gonna sell. Like the book, the event book might be okay, but like I just really don't see anybody coming in looking specifically for Masters of Kung Fu without any. Without any idea of how is this going to pertain to the main event.
How many Shaolin monks do you get in Pittsburgh Comics?
Oh, not many.
From himself?
Yeah.
Besides for Pat.
It should have been subtitled The Final
Maybe
Stand.
Dave. Dave's everything else. He might as well be a Shaolin monk. I don't know. I really don't. Like Kung Fu, Masters of Kung Fu, just... Maybe a MODOK book.
And had the last series done anything, maybe I'd have more hope in that one.
I mean,
but
I understand,
that last book did not do anything.
I understand Marvel Zombies because
you
there's supposedly a...
I was, and then it was, the art
Marvel
was terrible.
Earth. But Marvel can't have a very good... Like, Marvel doesn't have a very structured multiverse. So doing a big multiverse story with them and randomly bringing characters, like, who cares about all these people? But
right.
DC's had that
Well, I think that's kind of where, like, that multiversity guidebook... Just kind of showed, hey, here's how DC set up Marvel. Oh, yeah, we're just going to smash things together. Look, we got Spider-Gwen. You know, we don't know what we're doing.
Like, but even
is
there.
Is this an Earth, MODOK? Like,
I don't know.
But, I don't know. Who would?
Right, but
one
even
topping
then, you guys.
But, those,
DC,
but, the, topping but there are all those Earth, all those worlds are
But
dead.
You know what? Since before a Crisis on Infinite Earths, I've known that there's an Earth 3.
Yeah.
And what it is. Mm-hmm. Or an Earth X, or 10, or whatever they want to call it. You know, that's the Nazi planet.
Yeah.
They don't have it, so...
But even 1602 wasn't supposed to be another Earth. That was just Marvel back in 1602.
Right, and that's I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago.
Wasn't another world.
Well, I don't know if it necessarily is an Earth or even a back-in-time story. It's just like an Elseworld-type deal.
Well, no, but they're taking things that happened when... At the time the event happened, it happened in 616, and now they're saying, no, it didn't take place in 616. It took place in some other universe.
Right, like Infinity Gauntlet
and
Secret War.
They did something in Spider-Verse.
Old Man Logan was just...
Which
in the future.
Knowing about this and Spider-Verse at the same time, I just feel so bad for everybody. They fought so hard, and then most of them were going to die.
Yeah.
You know,
same with future. The whole future imperfect wasn't another world or another reality.
And don't you think that one of the... I forget who it was that knew about the incursion should have said something like, hey, guys, in case you didn't know, this is going on, so you might want to work with your, you know, Reed Richards and your, you know, Black Panther and your version of the Illuminati.
Call your local super scientist.
But that wasn't in Slott's plan.
If they did, like, the two... Okay, what two main universes do you know? Of Marvel.
Ultimate and 616.
Okay. Now, the only one I know separate from that is just because I
Pizza
read
Dogs
the stories where it's the zombie, 666.
Okay, yeah.
That's a side Earth, we'll call it. But the whole thing is, if they would have done a story that was this place, and their Earths were about to collide and had nothing to do with anything else, I'd be more interested.
because I'd be more interested in what was happening to the Nick Fury on that Earth and the, you know, or maybe they team up or something. They don't give you that. They're giving you MODOK.
Wait, who's been reading Avengers for a while, especially around Infinity?
I read it up to that point.
After Infinity?
I stopped.
Okay, so isn't there another Earth already inside Earth?
Yeah, they're kind of occupying the same space. They were trying to destroy the one to keep
and it was inside Earth. Yeah.
And it like phased through.
So did they forget? No, it like it phased into it. Did they?
I thought that it was after I jumped off. I thought they destroyed.
Okay, I only read that first issue after Infinity, and I failed after that.
Earths, and if you remember his Fantastic Four run, they create a new planet outside of our Earth, and it's like the future characters, like future. It's.
No, that was Miller's run.
Was it Miller's?
That was in Miller's run.
And he brings them over to here. And
they created a new Earth because their Earth was dying, yeah.
But then that planet's time moves, like, faster or something. There's way too many Earths floating around. There's no structure.
That's why they're getting rid of them. We're getting down to just one Earth.
Oh, God. Just destroy them all.
Consolidate.
Can't they just tell us they destroyed them? They just will move on from that.
Well, they already have. The Secret Wars 1 is going to be the last convergence or inversion between the two remaining Earths.
All the Earths are dead now.
Except for Battle World.
We'll be like, okay, we'll start from there.
I wonder how that would be received if they just said, like, if they lead up to it, and then suddenly the next book's like 6 months later.
6 months later.
It's just the fallout.
DC did 1 year later. You remember that? After Infinite.
Yeah, but
Crisis.
Then they did 52 that filled in the time gap.
Yeah.
So you just had to wait a year, but you got to find out.
Loki, Agent of Asgard. We need that, you know? I don't know. It's just, it's too confusing. That's why. I'm just looking at it as, you know, those two seem like they're relevant, so I'll get them.
We're all a bunch of haters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hating it. Like, I want it. Like, I want to see what they're doing with it, because I'm hoping it's a new jump in, a real jump in on point, finally, for Marvel again.
I'd like to be able to read an Avengers book again.
I feel like I wasn't, like... I feel like I didn't leave Marvel. I was actually pushed away to Marvel. Like, I was jumped off.
You were escorted off the
premise. Yeah, I was just like...
It's not you, it's me.
It was just like... I got to a point that I was just didn't care about what I was reading. And I was just
we're just not right for you anymore, Adam.
Yeah. So, I'm hoping this... And I kind of said, you know, about Spider-Verse. I wasn't too big on Spider-Verse. But I'm looking Marvel's at this as maybe it'll be something good.
Marvel is Adam's abusive boyfriend. It'll slap him around, but he'll keep running back to it.
Hardly, though. Like, I don't, unless...
Adam, we changed this time. We promise.
I'm wanting this to be it. Like, if this isn't it...
This what?
If this isn't the point to jump on...
Okay.
Like, after this, and they create this new thing, and it makes it easier to be in the Marvel, then that's, like, their chance.
It's like, what
this
else
is
you
what they
do?
Have right here.
Right, so it's like they need to do a new 52 and have everything restart after this,
and they don't
but they won't
to,
do it because they won't admit defeat.
And they don't even have to do a hard reboot. They could do a soft reboot of starting the character, start building a structure to... That's my biggest complaint with Marvel is they have no structure. There's none. DC at least had that structure with New 52. You had Justice League, you know, you had... They even drew a diagram out, explained it, if you remember, that, you know, these are what are, you know, your main books, these are the Bat books, these are the families, you know.
Yeah.
There's something there. Marvel does not have that right now.
Inhumans, that's all you need
to know. Yeah, and they're trying to force things on us that nobody really wants.
They're the house of ideas. Their creativity cannot be contained.
They've lost.
Right.
I know. They've lost.
Like
that.
Thor's, an intergalactic police force.
The thing about
they use hammers. It's totally not the same as Green Lantern.
It's not.
They use rings.
So which of these books will be included in a loot crate? So that way Marvel can say how great their sales were.
Probably Secret Wars number one.
I ordered a loot crate just to try a loot crate, just to see what I thought. Just the one. I haven't got it yet. So supposedly this month is
covert or top secret
or something like that. And it's all spy stuff. So I'm probably getting an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. something in it. I'm just going to be like, why did I do this?
I'd love to get like a Sky Pop vinyl.
Yeah, Sky Pop vinyl. I'll be like, yes, thank you.
When you bounce her head, it's not a bobblehead. It's her using their earthquake powers.
Oh, brilliant.
Isn't she kind of a bobblehead anyway?
Nice.
He had to make fun of her.
Yeah, way to go. Once. Way to go.
You took her poster, though.
I gave it to a fan.
Look what you put in place of
it. Hung it in
Convergence.
His house.
And he's got two Convergence things, which I like this little one better.
Well, that one they gave to me at in Portland. Marvel gave me the middle finger in Portland. So.
Yeah.
They didn't even give you that.
And somebody gave you an actual fingers with hands.
No, a hand, yeah. That was thank you, Dark Horse.
Did you
nobody else gave me body parts. Although Marvel did send me eyeballs once. So.
We got all these.
They can send you eyeballs.
That's right.
Have you talked about how DC has actually given you things to sell for, like these books here?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's one thing where they're doing a consignment program. Sadly, I didn't get it. Diamond kind of messed that up, but they're doing a consignment thing with. I think there's 10 different books that we can order now and sell, and then we have to send them back, I think, in July. And whatever we didn't sell, we'll get billed for. But it's like, you know, Flashpoint, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Kingdom Come, Superman Red Sun, Batman Gotham by Gaslight, The Crisis on Multiple Earths, I think the first three volumes of that.
Those are okay. They have
there's a couple
of...
other things, but just they're saying here's what's going on with Convergence. These books are going to be referenced.
Okay,
you know if you want to read Convergence, you might want to probably have read Crisis on Infinite Earths because there's going to be stuff characters
from
referring
there.
To that, Flashpoint, things like that. So, but it's nice to be able to give us this, whereas things like Inferno out of print.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to be able to have a stack of Infinity Gauntlet or Old Man Logan or the other books that they're referring to.
Is Old Man Logan out of print?
No. No. But where this, it's there's no risk. I can order in 10 of each. What I don't sell, I send
you
back,
send
and then
back.
I have to pay for the four or whatever I sold.
Yeah.
Whereas with the other ones, you know, I'm not going crazy. I'm not going to stock
up. You're
going
to buy five copies of Infinity Gauntlet because you're not going to sell them.
Right. So yeah. It's just, you know, a different way of treating us. They just announced DC's incentives. I saw Bleeding Cool did a thing about it. Obviously, somebody sent them an email, which is... But it's where, for some of the books, we have to order our Batman, I think, like 31 numbers, and then we get returnability and a discount. On the new ones, is if we hit half Batman 31 numbers, we get returnability and a discount.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, and... Okay, you know, returnability makes it easy. So I can order in 100 copies, and if I sell 30, I send the other 70 back. Now, the bad thing is that I have to pay for those 100 and then get
and
a
then
credit
get a
later.
Credit.
So you don't go crazy. So if I don't think I'm going to sell 100, I'm not going to sell 100. But if I think I'm going to sell 20, I can order 40. I can take a chance.
Yeah.
And then even with the ones that are still continuing, is if you exceed... 110% of issue 40 that just came out, or the ones that are coming out this month,
yeah,
we get an extra 10% off. So it's a thing to get us to order more of the next issue. And
now this is not the Convergence issues.
This,
this is
the next issue after. It's the issue 41.
Okay.
So it's just not, you know, they're trying to boost their numbers, and I see how they're doing it, but also, you know, that extra 10% could take care of those extra, you know, issues.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's risk free, but they're also hoping maybe people jump on after, because in theory, the way they said is all the storylines are supposed to be ending in 40. So come in 41, that's going to be coming
it
out
should
in
be
June.
All jumping on points.
It's all going to be jumping on points. So, and it's kind of nice to have a month of that in June. Okay. We're getting all these new books and all the regular books are jumping on points. So you've heard good things about Batman and Robin. Well,
so,
no, that one's ending, but
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Are you going to do anything for June, then?
I don't know yet. I got to wait and see
too bad you missed the book.
Okay.
Yeah, missed
but
the
I
book.
Probably will do something for... I'll do a package deal for all the new books to get you to try all the new ones. I just need to see prices. I don't know which ones are $3.99.
Yeah, I know they said some are
going to
be $2.99.
So I need to see what that is. I can't do a package for Secret Wars because I don't know what they are. I don't know... literally don't know what they... I mean... Because in here, there's some miniseries. There's some, you know, we don't know if there's going to be a second Inferno. It's just, I mean, I guess I could do a package deal, but I think there's just so much uncertainty. If you're interested in a package deal, let me know. I'll happily put something together. Because I do have 2 weeks before orders are due, but I'm just sitting here going,
Adam is interested in a package
It's 2 weeks before orders due, and I have no idea what number to put on these.
You're talking
folks.
About Battle World?
I'd order a package deal, but the last time I did that, he didn't mark me down, so, yeah.
For what?
for the shebang.
Three or four times.
I thought you don't know.
And you wonder why you said through grenades.
You said that you got Adam and you got
no,
Josh.
No, what happened, what I said is, before I went to Portland,
you got for a quarter shebang. That's good enough.
No, before I went to Portland, I had a post-it note with everybody who wanted it. When I came back, that post-it note was nowhere to be found.
FYI, yeah. Not a great system.
No, but no.
That's not a very good explanation.
You are correct. The problem was I had to do it that way because I didn't have the information wasn't in the computer yet. So I didn't have any way of putting it in the computer.
You're like a spreadsheet.
And Josh.
I could have.
Josh, in his defense, it said important.
It said shebang.
Shebang.
That's a lot of names to shebang.
Someone picked it up. They said, she moves. And then they threw it away.
Yeah. You got to continue it from that, man. I don't know where to follow up.
Where are we going to read? Who
Ricky Martin.
Read books?
Talk about it, Ricky Martin. Okay.
This isn't a Ricky Martin podcast.
Okay. Enough of that.
This isn't the early 2000s.
What did you read? Pat, what did you read?
What did I read?
Did you read a comic book?
I did. I read a couple.
Oh.
Harley Quinn.
Ooh. I read that.
That?
I forgot that.
It was interesting. I
just used your first.
It was all right. It wasn't the best issue, but it wasn't bad.
No, so I'm interested to see where this goes, especially if it's going to be a brand new story arc. So basically,
you're talking about the last page or
yeah. Well, I mean for
there's still one more issue in this arc cuz
yeah.
That was a week later or whatever. That book.
Right. But, you know, so basically, you know, you've seen throughout the series, Harley's time is really kind of stretched because she's trying to manage this building. She's doing the roller derby thing. She's doing the...
I just find it funny because how busy is Harley Quinn? Like, she's doing this.
She's still being...
She's volunteering with animals.
She's being a psychiatrist. She's not really volunteering with animals. She's really...
Doesn't she have a dead muskrat or something?
It's a beaver.
Beaver?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because it's the constant joke that she talks to her beaver.
Yeah.
So...
Where are the hyenas? Come on.
Yeah.
We want to see her the hyenas.
Anyway... So
this is a family friendly.
Yeah, so where they're getting the beef.
So she's talking with Ivy and decides that she needs to get assistance. Basically, she needs to get a staff. And
12 apparently.
Yeah, and they all seem to be a bit unstable. So it works out perfect. That's going to be very interesting to see a whole gang of Harleys. But it's I like that book.
And it's been a fun book. It's a good book. This issue wasn't as good as some recent ones, but they've had some really good ones. Lately,
yeah.
So
I really liked it when she. Well, yeah, the Valentine issue was good, but I also liked it when they were when she was with Power Girl. I know that's one of the new series.
It's a mini series,
right? But that's I'll check that out. I read Earth 2, which I. Earth 2 and World's End really are... I mean, it's the same story, and I think I read them in the right order this time, but I'm not exactly sure. So...
I forgot the... Like, I read one, and I thought I read... I didn't know Earth 2 came out. I read World's End, and I thought I was done reading that for the week, and then I picked it up. I was like, oh, wait, Earth 2 came out, and I read it as well.
Yeah. So, basically, there's a giant drill that's... going to drill into Earth, and Nebu and Hawk Girl basically go to stop the drill. And there's
it's a very Dr. Evil plan.
Yeah, but it shows the backstory of how he got the helm and how she became Hawk Girl.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting time.
They
kind of
got it all
at
the same time.
Right, but it's interesting with like two issues left or one issue left is when they decide to do that backstory.
Yeah, it did. It did seem kind of. Out of place, but in a way, like it
made sense for what was going on in the story. Yeah,
because he kind of gives it up, right? Isn't that what he did?
Well, yeah, he wasn't going to put it back on because that went back to I want to say two issues ago when the helm basically said, "I don't want you. I'm going to go with one of the Furies because they're stronger."
Yeah,
and then I think it was War. whoever it was basically corrupting the helm. He couldn't fight back.
Oh, it was he went to Apocalypse.
Yeah,
yeah, and no, it wasn't one of the Furies. It was some random Apocalypse like character that they brought in, like one of Darkseid's like henchmen or whatever called him in to deal with it, and it chose him. He was like a dark wizard or something like that. But
yeah, that was me.
Was the Dark Side stuff or the Dick Grayson stuff in Earth 2, or is it in World's End?
That was in World's End.
That's really weird.
Yeah, see, I get those two books confused because they're so similar.
Yeah.
Might as well just make one big book.
Yeah, so basically in World's End, Batman and the Huntress are able to stop Brainwave.
Yeah.
Who, you know, his plan was to take the people that he could control, which he couldn't control everybody, but take the people he could control, and he was going to steal one of the escape ships and, you know, repopulate the Earth in his image was essentially how he was going to do it.
Yeah.
But I liked when Dick Grayson picked up the Batarang and had...
He liked it, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But it's funny because, like, he keeps chasing around this kid. And this kid just keeps disappearing. Like, he's like, finds him, then he turns around, the kid's gone again.
It's like his name is Lori.
It's Lori. This is Carl.
Where's Carl?
Don't mention Carl around Colin. Don't get that song in his
head. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He'll lose his mind.
We listened to it yesterday. Yeah, and then something else happened in it. There was the stuff doing with the Green Lantern. And the avatars, they couldn't stop it. Like, he absorbed all the avatars, I guess?
Yeah, he did. And then there was an argument, oh, no, they're all gone. No, they're part of you. Yeah. And it was like, okay.
But then he couldn't stop it anyways. Like, he couldn't stop. Because Apocalypse is, like, has broken. Like, you remember this? It's like a gum machine ball, basically.
Yeah, it broke apart.
And it's sealing around Earth, and that's how it's consuming Earth.
Yeah.
Which
makes it even weird why it would need the drill.
Yeah, I didn't get the drill either, unless it's going in and drills, and that's what's actually eating it or something. But I don't really understand how Apocalypse works, because I don't remember it doing that before. This is New 52 stuff. And then the other thing going on in that was the ship. That the other group has went after the ship. It was Mr. Miracle, Fury, Mr. Terrific... Sandman? Was it Sandman? Or whatever his name is?
Steel?
Or was it Steel?
I think it was Steel. I don't remember.
Sandman's the guy who could multiply or something. Right?
And then it was the other guy.
The other Mr. Terrific. Nine or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Whatever. But he was there... And the whole thing is that they thought he was betraying him, but it turns out he's not. Like, he was actually getting the ship. But somehow he had to destroy one ship, which I feel like he, like, merged. He figured out, like, a portal between Earths.
Yeah.
And then by destroying, like, the ship on the other side of the dimension was what that was destroyed. His ship passed through. And it was kind of confusing, but it made sense.
Kind of.
But then she was like, well, now those people are dead. And you still killed a bunch of people. He's like, well, that was empty. So
yeah, I knew that ahead of time, and it was,
Yeah, so it was, I've loved this series. And that's the only thing that, even if this gets canceled, like, this is ended, it's not really getting canceled, if you think about it.
No, there's Earth 2 Society.
And then Earth 2 Society. So I'll be definitely picking up Earth 2 Society. I mean, and they don't even have that in solicits yet, right? And I already know what I want of that.
Yeah.
DC's already given me that much of it. It's just, they gave it...
They told you what it was.
They made it easy. That's the thing. They made it easy.
Yeah. They made it like a spreadsheet for you.
Yeah.
Here's the book. Here's who's writing.
This is coming
out.
This is getting canceled. I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay, there's my list. It's done. You know?
Future's End.
It was good. So better art this time.
You know what?
When's the last issue of this?
It's the first. April 1st. Yeah.
Josh is sad.
This book has been relatively slow for a while, and then suddenly in the past couple issues...
It was like the first 20 were slow, and then it picked up, and then it lulled in like the last... Slow again,
And now all of a sudden it's like, we gotta finish this in 5 issues, hurry up.
I feel like I should expect this out of a weekly book, though. That how it's very, you know, up and down and up and down. And
yeah.
When it's good, it's okay. It's
Eternal has done a better job of not having the up and down.
Yeah. Although there's been arcs in that, though, too. That
there's been structure issues.
But not as noticeable as Future's End.
Yeah, like the nanites, like, they disappeared for a while, and then that story was kind of bland. But Future's End has had a lot of ups and downs.
It has. But in this issue, they're able to stop Brainiac by using Brother Eye, which I think we talked that's probably going to happen like 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago.
I was going to say they used Brother Eye and Pym Particles, but that wasn't right.
No, it was the Atoms.
Yeah.
The not Pym Particles.
The not Pym Particles.
Yeah, so, you know, Brother Eye saves the day, even though we know what's going to happen in the future, at least what happened in that version of the future.
Brother Eye takes over. Where Superman punches Brainiac, and he goes across.
What are you doing?
Sabotage!
Sorry.
Colin,
how the heck did I hit that?
Yeah. Because it's the cord sitting there.
Stop trying to lay down.
Is it recording?
You started this off by saying you were tired.
Well, now it's 9:05. I'm getting tired.
Okay. There's a panel
in
there.
It's Adam's voice.
That Superman, like, punches Brainiac.
Yeah.
And he, like, breaks into all these forms of Brainiac, like, as he's fallen. And all the way to the first, like,
all the Brainiac layers.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it gives you that idea of this is convergence. Yeah. Like, this is what's going to be going on.
And then Superman lifts the entire city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't shot by a kryptonite bullet. Though,
so. Well, you know, he did that in Superman Returns, and that was made of kryptonite.
It was
so
it wasn't a whole city. It was like a little island.
Wasn't he shot?
That's
or
what New York is.
That too?
Yeah, it was.
So he was stabbed or something.
Was that before or after his son killed the guy with the piano?
Oh, yeah. That was after his son killed the guy with
Super Kid.
And how come his kid didn't have the problem with the kryptonite?
I don't know.
Because he was in the plane. He was the one that got the
Mr. Birth.
Because he never lived on Krypton.
Because comic books. That's why.
Well,
this is a comic book. Because movies.
Comic book movies.
Yeah, that's why.
And why is Lois Lane going out with Cyclops? I never understood that.
Why is Lois Lane 20 years old but has a 5-year-old kid?
Why was he flying a plane and not the
X-Jet?
The whole concept of
kryptonite making him weak doesn't make sense anyways.
Yeah.
Because if he's strong because
his
cells have absorbed this radiation, then why does being close to a rock make
him weak? I've been trying to figure out how
the radio plays.
I'm trying to figure out how he goes into space. Because if he goes anywhere besides our solar system, he doesn't have a yellow sun.
Well, I can believe like he has a charge, so it takes a little while. But eventually, the battery has to.
Yeah, it's just
right. But there's other red suns out there that.
Yeah, what if he goes in a galaxy or a solar system that has a red sun, and then he just weakens right there? That
turns
takes straight his battery.
Yeah.
Like,
does the red sun make him?
It weakens.
Yeah, weaks. Yeah, weakens them.
Because they've
it breaks him. It makes him more human.
They've always kind of changed it. Like sometimes they say that he gets weak. Other times it's this just makes him stronger. Otherwise he's normal without it. So,
I think the most recent explanation is that Krypton had the red sun. So basically, he'd be like anybody from Krypton, which would be a human, basically.
Yeah,
right.
If he goes into our solar system, he absorbs the yellow sun rays and makes him stronger.
What I'm saying is, the way they describe it now makes it seem like the red sun doesn't necessarily make him weak. It's just that our sun makes him strong.
Yeah. So without our sun, you're saying that
the red sun doesn't have any.
So assuming he has a charge,
he
should survive.
Like,
if
suddenly a red sun appeared out of nowhere, he wouldn't be like,
he'd be able
to get to another universe.
He's had a villain before that was a red sun, wasn't he? Like, he was
a red sun.
And
like
it weakens. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. That's a good question.
Why does the
rock write that down for your next meeting with these?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman. And they'll be like, get out. pop grenade.
I would never do that to anybody.
The most recent clear explanation of his powers would have to be from the movie. Because the movie where they, you know, came out and explained, that's how they explained the movie where he's cells bathe in this.
Did they even really sun. In the new movie? Did they even go into the red sun?
They didn't come with the red
no,
sun.
No, they talked about.
We didn't really even see a
they
sun.
Only, the they only said that he becomes stronger because of our the radiation.
Sun. We have a young sun that he can soak up the radiation as opposed to the dying sun.
So like nothing's going to just instantly make him weaker. Sap of his powers. It's just he became stronger because of
he
that.
He has issues with colors, right? So even kryptonites, like, of different
colors. Different color kryptonites had different effects.
But they've changed that, too. Like, a red kryptonite has had different effects on him for a long time.
Well, that was kind of... Red kryptonite was a variable. It was, you didn't know what would happen.
Oh, is that what it is?
And what was a blue kryptonite?
That goes through all the 50s and 60s, or just where they had crazy
stuff. Yes, blue kryptonite affected...
Okay, I'll talk.
We need to figure this out.
Stop smacking the table.
Yeah.
I'm not the one throwing the podcast around.
He's throwing cans of pop. He's throwing microphones. He's throwing cookie crumbs. Dave's throwing presents
throw
to people,
and Josh is throwing a fit. So,
yeah.
Dave,
settle down.
Throwing something.
I said, press.
Oh, Dave speaks.
Down.
Okay. What else you got, Pat?
Batman speaks. Eternal.
Oh,
that was good.
I can't keep up with weeklies anymore.
Colin, you got to keep up with weeks.
You're not invited to the podcast anymore.
You were doing good for a little
while
there.
I was doing real good. I think I have 4 of each.
It's because you're eating all these Girl Scout cookies.
No, I haven't eaten any. Made from the
your
finest
daughter,
Girl
no.
Scouts.
See, she's just like, I know who's going to buy cookies. It's going to be Dad.
Anyway, so this starts to wrap up the Jason Bard stuff where he goes to the mayor and says, you need to release Gordon. The mayor says, I'm not releasing Gordon. It's basically he has a scapegoat, so he's not going to...
Then Bard kills him? No?
No.
I don't know if I like the whole, like, Bard changing and
he's
suddenly
been,
being...
Yeah, I mean, he really did a 180.
Yeah.
Because they're playing off now, like, Bard just didn't know better. But Bard was pretty, like, overtly, you know, guilty and evil... Yeah. Throughout most of this.
Yeah.
Like, he was directly involved in the downfall.
And they're playing that up
Gotham.
A lot with the Vicky Vale stuff, when she goes, the spoiler goes to talk to Vicky Vale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, Bard's not that bad. You know, it's just like, oh, no, Bard did what any other villain here did. He took his own, he took, you know, what was going wrong with him and he wanted to destroy it. He took anybody in his path.
Yeah.
He screwed over.
Today's issue has him still, like, you know, kind of... Being one of the good guys, trying to...
He's got dressed as Batman.
Help save Jim
it's
Gordon.
Okay, I'm Batman, too. I'm Bat-Bard.
I'm Bardman.
Bardman.
Not Bartman, but Bardman.
Birdman.
Keaton comes out.
He's like, no, those are mine. Batman and Birdman, mine. Now. Like, wasn't that the point of the movie?
And then somebody, some mysterious voice, is going to return the Penguin to power.
Yeah, I think it was Catwoman. I don't think Catwoman has any interest in being a mob boss, but I think she's just putting it back.
No, I don't think it was Catwoman.
You don't think?
No.
I mean, he's gonna come back in the power.
Well, yeah,
definitely. I mean, that's just gonna happen. But
what? You know, her father seemed to be pulling a lot of strings, a lot more than he should have been able to pull, being in prison.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if he's someone involved.
Yeah, I kind of wondered that myself. I've wondered if he's behind something. I mean, he's not the main player.
No, but he's definitely more involved than a guy that spent the last 20 years in prison should have been.
Yeah.
Even understand, you know, he's a mob boss and he still has that respect. And
yeah.
Do we all have an idea of who the main player is?
I do.
We think, right? Colin kind of has an idea, but like...
You and I have both gone to Colin with our guesses and had confirmation.
Yeah. He came back with his... And told me, he was just like, you might be right.
We'll have to do this offline, because I haven't had that conversation yet.
Okay. No, we're not mentioning anything here.
No, that's all right, so we're not going to mention.
Do you want to know, though,
there's clues.
What our guesses are?
Sure.
Not online.
Not online. No, not on here.
Not here.
No.
Yeah. Here.
No.
Okay. We'll go offline. Yeah, that's what I thought, but... Anyway.
What? What are you getting all?
Well, no, that's
like he has.
I heard what Adam just said, and Adam told him it said what it was.
Oh, I didn't hear
he
Adam.
Yeah,
no, nah. He didn't want you to say it on the podcast.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
I heard.
I'm
going to repeat it. Yes.
I didn't even hear what he said. I just when he was playing charades.
Okay. Go on. Move on.
Anyway,
I
and
said it, character,
and then Green Lantern. So.
That was...
That was weird.
Yeah.
Because it...
There has to be something bigger at play here.
Oh, yeah. No. I didn't say
that's
that.
That's what you said.
I said...
That's what I heard you say.
Because I was making the thing.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. But
move along.
So Hal Jordan breaks into basically an armory and gets Kronos' gauntlet, yeah. Which, okay, which it appears that has an internal power battery, never needs to be mm-hmm. recharged, and then takes off. Now, what you find out is beforehand he had the conversation with Kilowog and said, yeah. I got to do this. Because since I'm the leader of the Green Lanterns and everybody hates the Green Lanterns, it really falls on me. So he basically, and they didn't confirm that he's dead, but he basically kills Kilowog, beats him to death.
Oh, no, he didn't die.
Well, but he's pretty...
He's messed up.
Yeah, he's pretty badly beat.
Yeah.
So, and then Hal takes off. As he's going to escape, the other lanterns kind of show. Not, I think there was four of them. Sark, yeah. Who was it? There was like four or five that show up, and they were going to, stop him, and he escapes.
He punches right through.
Yeah.
The gravitational pull.
Right, and it basically, this is Kronos' gauntlet is like 10 times more powerful than any of the rings are. So
and they can't track him because he left his ring in his locker.
Right, because that was the first thing that they went to track him, and it said it was in his locker.
Yeah.
But
something has to be in play here. Like, I don't think... I think it definitely goes into, his conversation with the Guardians, that he's carrying out something, especially because at the end when they say it didn't play out the way that we thought it would, but it still occurred. Like,
but here's what I don't like about it. That was issue 40.
Yeah,
that played out like it was the start of an arc, not the end of an arc.
I mean, I can see where you're coming from with that, but I think that leads into a huge status quo shift for the book moving forward, which makes it a good jumping on point.
It does.
If 41.
But I would have... It almost would have made sense if they showed the flashback to that conversation then.
Yeah.
And just said, this is you and you have to leave. And have leave at like the middle of the book.
I think they wanted to leave it kind of ambiguous. Like to where you weren't quite, where you were kind of guessing if it was him that decided this or if it was an order from the Guardians that said to do this.
Okay, but structurally in the book then, he should have been gone in the middle of the book so that you had Aftermath actually in that book and not have the last panel be him flying off into space. Because Aftermath would have wrapped the arc up better instead of it's he's going off on a mission, which automatically leads you to the next issue.
I don't know. They still gave you the page with the Guardians having the conversation at the end.
Yeah, but I would have...
I see where you're coming from. I don't know if it's...
Maybe it's just a structural preference for me, how I would have... If I was writing it, and obviously I don't get paid to write it,
I just think it's
I was writing, it's how I would have done it.
But I think the way by doing it this way, they leave you on a pretty big cliffhanger to get the people that were reading very interested to come back 2 months later. So you're not going to drop off the book while still giving a good place to jump on for new readers at 41. And then, did any of you see the interview with Colin Bunn about Green Lantern and Lost Army?
I saw some of that where he was talking about they're basically in another universe.
All the Green Lanterns will be gone somewhere else except for Hal Jordan. He's going to be the only Green Lantern that's still in our universe.
Okay. Well,
makes sense since he ran off.
But that doesn't make sense. Simon Baz, who's never really been a
Green
Lantern.
Somehow Simon Baz is going to be called away with the other Green Lanterns to go.
Jessica Cruz.
She's not a Green Lantern.
Yeah,
but she does. But she has the power ring.
Not a Green Lantern.
Different frequency.
I get that. But
different
she
shade
has,
of green. She's kind of like. I mean, yeah, she's Green Lantern.
And they even made the. At the end of John's run, they even said that Simon Baz trains her to be the first Earth female Green Lantern. So we know she's going to become a Green Lantern
eventually.
Eventually, in the new 52 continuity.
And we know Simon Baz eventually comes back.
Yeah,
but. even right now, the Guardians haven't had any sort of interaction with her. It's been Hal Jordan was the one that said, can you help her out?
Yeah.
And they brought Hal back in the Justice League. Supposedly.
Yeah, that was at the end of Justice League. They haven't
really totally, set in stone that he's on the team, but he was
back. There to help.
Well, that was the other thing is, the Green Lantern said, we're not going to take 2814. That's Red Lantern territory.
Red Lanterns aren't exactly in best shape.
Guy's still there, though.
Yeah, but I don't think Guy's enforcing the rules anymore because he went and got in a bar fight with Hal Jordan.
And then got beat up by a baby. He got beat up by a baby in the last issue of Red Lanterns.
Stuff happens, Gal. Comic books.
Yeah, because comic books.
But I think it's very apparent now that Justice League and Green Lantern are happening at very different times.
Yes.
Since in Justice League, Hal Jordan shows up in full Green Lantern. Regalia in Green Lantern.
I don't remember, but I think he had his ring.
He did.
Yeah.
In Justice League?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in full Green Lantern gear and no gauntlet.
Right, but he had full Green Lantern gear with the gauntlet.
No, at the end, he flew off. He was wearing
at the very end, but while he was in the fight. Yeah. So I don't.
But I liked it. I mean, I see where you're coming from with those few issues, but overall, I think it was effective. It just was surprising to see that sudden turn.
Yeah. But I even get, the conversation that he had with Kilowog as they were fighting made a lot of sense. I'm not just going to let you go. You were my recruit, and I don't, I'm not just going to let you fail, so.
No, it was well written in terms of, the dialogue between them as things are going down.
Okay. Dave?
I will start with the first issue of Princess Leia, number one.
How was it?
I don't think it really did it for me.
No, I think it was about a 10-page story that they stretched.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of story. Basically, it starts right at the ceremony.
Okay.
And then afterwards...
Doesn't give Chewbacca a medal.
Right.
Right, because, well...
What did he do?
Exactly. He's the dog. But
dogs don't get medals.
Captain Kirk should have gotten them. Oh, I'm sorry. But
Josh is going to spill coffee all over the place now.
But and then basically it's like we have to get the Empire knows where we are, so we have to evacuate, we have to find and they're looking for places to go, and Princess, you have to come with us.
She's feeling underutilized.
Right, and so she decides that she finds one other Alderaanian.
I'm checking his list so I can leave some things for him.
Oh, some Alderaanian, and they decide to go out on their own. And with a very weird setup.
Yeah.
Where Luke is chasing him, and she intentionally hits his wing with her ship, so that a piece breaks off, and the piece that broke off was the hyperdrive. But it wasn't really. She had R2 put that up earlier, and it's just a fake hyperdrive, so that they think that their hyperdrive was broken, and then they hit hyperdrive, and they're gone. Yeah. And I'm like, really? In outer space, you're going to intentionally cause a collision, and just so happens you hit that one perfect spot where you would put a fake... It was just, it was...
She was capable. Her father was Darth Vader.
Right, but she doesn't know that. It was very, really?
Anakin didn't know that when he was piling pod racers.
Like shooting long breaths. I didn't get to deal with why all the rebels were calling her an ice queen.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Because her entire planet got destroyed and she's kind of
cold.
Okay.
She told her they were going to Hoth.
So. But just, there was a whole lot of talking that didn't need to be there. But my biggest problem was with the art. On the very first page, the ceremony, Luke looks messed up. Or not Luke, Han has a face on him that is bizarre. Just the art is terrible. But the weirder thing was anything that was gold, like Luke's hair and C-3PO, they didn't ink. They left uninked, and it just looked unfinished. And it's like... His head didn't even have a black outline to it. It was just a really weird choice of coloring or inking or whatever they did, and I found it distracting the whole time.
I found it interesting that they're going to Naboo. I don't that's kind of cool that, that for Princess Leia to go to Naboo.
Because who the hell is going to want to go to Naboo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's full of Gungans. And
if they bring Jar Jar into this, he shows up and he's just like, I run this planet now. Misa run this planet.
Misa know your mama.
Yeah. There's a big doo-doo this time. Sorry, Dave.
Okay, Kirby Jar Jar.
We had to mention all the anything that says Jar Jar in it before Colin left. After Colin left.
Oh no, I saw. Yeah, the art's terrible.
Yeah, and I normally like the Dawson's.
I have not been a fan of but the art like, in any of these Star Wars books.
But even like there, so far. It's just like it's just so it's obviously not finished.
But story wise, still
the model. Yeah.
Story wise, still that I like that better than I don't even know what's going on in Star Wars. Like nothing. This is issue three I got in the bag right now.
Yeah,
something has to be like. What are we doing? Why are we just fighting Vader? You know, a friend of mine actually, she came up. We do a thing where we watch all the Star Wars movies all, and I had her. I gave her. The issues to read that were out. That would be Star Wars 1, I think Star Wars number 2, and Darth Vader.
1 and 2.
She sat there and read Star Wars after she's done. She just didn't get into it. And her, I think her, what she compared it to was perfect. She said it was basically a fan fiction. And I said, yeah that's kind of what it was.
I think what bugs me the most is that, aside from the people in this room right here, every single podcast or review I've read have been like, tripping over themselves to praise these things, and I keep reading these things, like wondering what am I missing.
Yeah,
I like the Darth.
A lot of reviews of Leia, and everybody. Loved
and that's
it.
Why. Star that's Wars? Why I handed the book to somebody who first doesn't read comic books, is a Star Wars fan, and when she looked at it, she gave me that. I was just like, that's kind of what, you know. But I didn't give her any opinion that I had on it. I true.
You read this and tell me what
said,
you think.
Read this. Yeah. Tell me what you think. And, you know, as a Star Wars fan, what do you think of this? And she read it, and then she read Darth Vader, and that was a different story. Now, she noticed the connection between the two, but she liked it. She liked what it looked like, because the art, she kind of liked it kind of looked more real-looking. Than
the art was better. I still didn't like how Vader himself.
Yes, yeah, so once in a while, he had bit. Some. But story-wise, like, it was a lot better. But I don't know. And then this Leia book, it had, I think, a better story than Star Wars has had. Darth Vader is still the better one, but still none of them are, like, spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but everyone's drooling over them, saying how great they are and how...
Yeah.
I think people fall into two camps when you put Star Wars on something. You have the fanboys that will love it just because it has Star Wars on it and it doesn't matter. And then I think you have kind of the other extreme where you look at Star Wars and you kind of... You judge everything by the feeling you got the first time a Star Destroyer flew across the screen, and nothing can top that.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the problem is, you know, that's not a movie that people like. Yeah, it was okay. It's usually a movie where people are like, oh, I absolutely loved it, or it's just not my thing, and I don't like it.
Right.
And that kind of goes for, you know, the other things, just the same way that like younger kids today like the. Episode 1, 2, and 3, whereas people of our generation grew up with episodes 4, 5, 6, and were like, dude, these are crap.
Your kids like episode 1, 2, and 3? Like
my kid, but like my nephews love it.
Really?
Yeah. My nephews are 9 and 10, but they love it because they didn't grow up watching the original trilogy on the big screen.
Without seeing the original trilogy, you can see that Anakin Skywalker is poorly written and poorly acted.
I grew up
a 9-year-old stock one, you know.
Natalie Portman just decided she didn't want to live anymore and just faded away.
Well, that's
she's the worst mother of all. I got nothing to live for except for those two kids.
I just gave birth, but
whatever.
I have nothing to live for. They're on their own.
Is that what happened? Whenever your kids were born, did you decide you had nothing to live for?
You gave up.
It didn't work? No, you know what's funny? Dr. My Ball son has only seen the movie. I don't know if he's even seen them. He knows the movies from the Lego game.
Yeah.
Lego Star Wars.
The Lego game ones are fun, though. So.
I'll say that's a better entry than 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever
you
really
can sit
seen
there
them.
Probably and play the Lego game and be like, well, this is still fun, and then watch the movie and be like, what am I watching, you know? So I can understand. But I grew up in between because, like, I grew up with, as a younger kid, with the originals, okay? The episode one came out when I was 7th, 8th grade. So when I saw it, how old am I? Yeah. 28.
Oh. I was gonna say it came out my senior year of college.
I'm 34. I thought you were older.
No. See, that's what I thought about Dahlia not that long ago. But I guess like 23 20, or something. Yeah. What? Yeah. But yeah, that's where I was. And when they first came out, like, I had no problem with them. Actually, I didn't mind them at all. Like, I like Darth Maul. I thought that. Jar Jar Binks, I could care less.
This is a very unpopular thing to say. I don't mind episode one.
Yeah.
Whereas people, like, hate, like, little Annie.
Yeah.
He didn't bother me. Like, I don't have a problem. You don't like that? I don't have a problem with a kid acting like a kid.
Yeah.
Whenever he's older. And suddenly we have, you know, Hayden Christensen, and he's acting like, you know, supreme douche on the screen. That's when I can't stand it.
I agree. I don't have such a huge problem with episode one as I do when they brought in Hayden Christensen, because his character goes through all of these problems. Yeah. Okay. Then he kind of just gives up completely.
So it runs in the
watching
family.
Just watching it recently, we both me and my friend came up with the same conclusion that basically you grew up with Darth Vader as a tragic character and you felt for him. And what they did was they gave you a character that you just were like, well, he did this to himself. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's where they screwed up, right there. You know, he was this selfish, self-centered character who was just like, oh, I can make everybody live forever. You know, everybody look at me.
The only thing
about me.
About episode one that I really didn't like, I mean, no one liked Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And
I thought he was like a small part. Like, if you could fade him out of that, I was fine.
If he just exists in episode one, fine. Whenever they put him in charge of, like,
the Senate, and he's like, I'm a senator now.
Yeah, he's the one that pretty much caused episodes 4, 5, and 6.
He did it. He set up the war.
And the other thing, I don't think it was necessary to have C-3PO be created by Darth Vader.
But they did that, you know, having Chewbacca save Yoda. I mean, they crammed in that. I'm surprised Han Solo didn't show up.
That means Luke and him are brothers. Whoa. Mind blown. Dave, you'll be okay.
He's like, I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
Does that make, like, R2 his aunt or something?
You know what? I watched the unedited, non-special effects added versions as well the old movies, because I got them on DVD. I had to get those.
So that means you got the yub-yub ending.
Yeah.
Which is the only true correct ending.
There's a translation to all those words, but... but while watching it, I was just like, wow, some of this stuff really did need some special effects. But then you get to the points where, like, the dancing, like, aliens and the...
And Jabba.
And it's just like, why was this added? Or, like, this robot in episode one that, like, something hit it on its head and it was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And
I
was just
could take some of the actual, some of the extra, like, digital,
some of it,
visual
yeah, like,
effects,
some of the ships flying,
but I'm
they
sorry.
Look like crap.
Yeah. When you had to take Vader... And have him go,
that's
no. You completely, not only did you make it cheesy as hell, but you ruined the whole scene, because it was more impactful when just in silence you see his, like, through the mask, these glances over, you could get a feeling for what he is thinking, and he suddenly takes action. With him saying no, like, you don't need to make it so obvious. Mm-hmm. What sort of morons do you think are watching this where you need to have these stupid cues? And have you ever, in real life, heard someone say, in any situation, no! Seriously.
He
Colin?
What is it, the pop can?
No!
He's like, no!
He didn't say
and he
a word,
picked up
supposedly.
Pat and threw him into, like, some sort of crazy space engine.
I didn't realize he was spraying the ceiling and everything.
I didn't either.
Like, that was
pretty powerful.
That's the main thing about the re-edited ones that drives me nuts, is why you had to do that.
And then
do it again in episode three.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning, we just said the space engine, though. I don't understand why there's random pets throughout, like, these spaceships.
Why would the Emperor have a big pit of death to the engine right by his throne?
Well, hold on.
When his second-in-command is this... gigantic
fairness, the Death Star was not completely built yet.
Exactly.
And I think what it was going to be when it was done, it was like Mr. Burns' desk.
Eventually,
he has the pit, he pushes the button, and people fall in.
He unleashes the Rancor. unleash the Rancors.
We have this convenient 75-foot drop right here.
Yeah, it's just a drop in a plasma panther or something.
Are we still talking about Princess Leia number
that
one?
Was, yeah, that was Princess Leia number one.
And then
that book became a gateway drug for every other movie.
We're all hate. And all then, Star Wars, Star Trek hate.
He, I don't know. It's just bad.
The Hayden Christensen ad. We're going to Star Trek next with Star Trek Planet of the Apes. Number three. Oh, Princess Leia is not in this one.
She could be if Colin wrote a Star Trek book.
What about Detective Chimp?
Maybe. There might be one that... Oh, it might not be Detective Chimp, but it could be a chimp that wants to be a detective.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the Enterprise
Inspector
crew...
Inspector Zaius.
The Enterprise crew has met up with Taylor... And Taylor, in the last issue, he knocked out Chekhov, stole his communicator. So in this issue, he fakes Kirk's voice. So they'll beam him up to the Enterprise. So Taylor beams up to the Enterprise, and he goes crazy up there.
Charlton Heston did not sound anything like William Shatner.
Well, in fairness,
but everybody can do a Shatner impersonation.
Yeah, he did a Shatner impersonation.
In Star Trek 3, Shatner impersonated Christopher Lloyd's Klingon to get beamed up by John Larroquette.
Okay.
Okay. So he beams up, and he's trying to, Taylor's trying to get to a shuttlecraft so he can get the heck out of there. And Kirk and Spock and Sulu beam back up so they could talk some sense in him, which they finally do. Kirk finally, after a big fight, of course, they talk some sense into him, and Dr. McCoy's still on the planet.
That's a weird away team. There has to be a red shirt guy to go down there.
I don't know if there's any red shirts or not.
You had to have a red shirt.
They ran out. They had to go back to Earth.
Resupply red shirt guys.
Yeah.
That was basically it. And at the end, the gorillas are getting more armor and guns.
Yeah, the gorillas are nasty.
They are ready to take over
the Planet of the Apes.
The Planet of the Apes from the chimps and the orangutans. It's a fun book. Shouldn't think too hard, I guess, reading it. But
is this a mini?
You know what?
It's just a mini series.
Taylor doesn't make any sense in this, because he shouldn't be fighting them at all. He is their only way back, because they time travel all the time. So if he would have just got on the ship with them...
Yeah, why would they fight?
He's trying to get Kirk, we got to take out these apes.
Why does he want to destroy the Enterprise? It's not even his time.
We can't do anything because of the Prime Directive.
Don't say it. I know you're going to say it.
Don't do it.
I would say it.
Don't succumb to that.
I would say it.
But it doesn't make any sense. Why is he carrying... It's like he's developed a vengeance against the apes, but it's like...
Well, they put their damn dirty hands on them.
If you go back in time, figure out how to fix it in the past or whatever, or go with them, because their time period... You said it was an alternate timeline, right?
It's an alternate, yeah.
So if it's an alternate timeline, then their future is great. So just stay there. Don't worry about the apes. Let them run their own planet.
Yeah.
The planet had its time. They let monkeys take it over.
Damn dirty apes.
Don't worry about the Klingons going over there.
Maybe they should just leave the Klingons there. It's not going to hurt anything. Were they there for bananas?
Moving on.
Talk about Hulk. Number 13.
More Doc Green.
More Doc
That's
Green.
What Let's Talk About Hulk B.
Wow.
It's time for bed. What a
reference. Think about it. 9 o'clock is when I hit my limit. And then it goes downhill from there.
It opens with...
Man, the 50s must suck.
With Doc Green learning Kung Fu from Iron Fist. Because he tells him he's going to need this.
Was he in the kid, like the class with the little kids, learn how to do the Kung Fu?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, wait, Hulk was learning Kung Fu?
Yeah, Hulk's learning.
Hulk have white belt. Kung Fu yellow soon.
And then he goes with Maria Hill to some S.H.I.E.L.D. facility where they're keeping the Gamma Corps.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Who are... I wrote their names down.
I thought he got rid of everybody.
Gray, Griffin, Mess, and Prodigy.
That was around Civil War, wasn't it? They did some Gamma Corps stuff, and probably before then.
I'm not familiar
with whatever happened to Hulk's like lab assistants?
They're still there in the Baxter building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd want to be a lab assistant for Hulk.
Banner is a lab assistant.
You know, you mess up an experiment or something, he'll smash you and...
So they switch off my train of thought. So.
Dave smash.
So they go down to the basement where the Gamma Corps is being held, and Doc Green's artificial intelligence has taken over this LMD and is trying to kill the Gamma Corps. Because
that's he's trying to get rid of all the Gamma people.
Yeah, and Doc Green doesn't want to go that that far.
So instead he sends an LMD to do it for him. So that's like pulling the trigger himself.
Well, no, the LMD, his AI, he thinks that killing these gamma-powered people is the best way to go, but Doc Green just wants to take away their powers.
Okay.
So there's a big fight, and then while they all get in the elevator, and on the way up, he stabs everybody with the cure, and then when they get out of the elevator, they're Gamma Corps no more.
Yeah, they were no more before. We didn't remember them.
And then the end was funny because they go back to the Baxter building and they tell Doc Green that his someone's here to see him, and it's Deadpool. He hires Deadpool to go after General Ross, Red Hulk, and Deadpool's there taking a selfie of him standing in the big purple pants. And you know, he's like saying hashtag big purple pants or something.
Hashtag big purple pants.
So
in Doc Green's efforts to cleanse everyone of the, you know, gamma radiation, mm-hmm. is his ultimate goal to eventually cleanse himself of it as well?
No, he doesn't want to cleanse himself.
That's kind of
selfish.
Yeah.
Why does Doc Green think that he's the only one that can handle the gamma power?
Because he's got he got hit with the extremists, and he's just all...
Oh, yeah, so he thinks he's smarter, so...
Even though it's wearing off now, and that's why he created the AI.
Yeah, he won't explode with extremists, because he's Hulk.
Right.
I find that interesting, that they did infect him with extremists, because if anybody's going to survive, it would be him or Wolverine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where Wolverine is now. He's in his cocoon.
With his extremists. With
extremists, yeah.
So it's been a good book, very fun. The last book is the best one I read. Descender, number one.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good.
I always feel bad.
That's why Chuck Collins was just like,
don't feel bad. If at the end of the time I go, hey, I got nothing. That's good.
Just means you didn't read enough.
No, he's got...
Yeah, buy more books. Support the store.
Yeah. Jeez.
So there's this United Galactic Council of nine planets, and these huge robots show up.
It's like a twist on BSG.
I never saw a BSG, so I'm out of the loop. I know.
Shut up, Dave. Are you serious?
I've never seen it.
Serious.
What? I've seen the old one, like...
Well, the premise is still the same.
Okay.
Don't tell Dave to shut up. He'll leave.
He never saw
the... Naughty list.
Yeah. The new ones.
You're gonna get Christmas this year, Josh.
I don't want Christmas from a Santa that hasn't seen BSG.
Santa hasn't seen BSG is no Santa of mine.
I will gladly skip you this Christmas, Josh.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm gonna buy you BSG.
I'll take it, that's fine.
Dear Santa. Get Go with ahead. The times.
I'm gonna see you're disgusted for a little bit.
So good, Hanukkah.
so these giant robots, the harvesters, show up and decimate these planets of life, and then it switches to 10 years later.
It was a mining
colony where everybody's wiped up, and this kid wakes up, and you find out he's a robot,
Tim
21, and he has a robot dog, and he's wondering what's going K-9. On. Where is everybody?
It's K-9.
Yeah. And this kid, if you find out this kid has some connection to the Harvesters, and they get this Dr. Kwan god.
Yeah, like the core of his programming is the same, or...
And they wiped out all the, over this, after this attack, they wiped out all the robots.
The Tim model, yeah.
From society.
It wasn't like a planned, you know, getting rid of them. I think there was a big, like, revolt against all robotic life forms.
Okay. So it's written by Jeff Lemire, so it's really...
That one where the robots came down and they went to investigate and the eyes, like they blasted them?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a bunch of.
I know you think I didn't read a lot.
Gundam or
I thought you were
Voltron.
Gundam.
Gundams. I said that for you.
What'd you get, Jar Jar, do?
I think once every week, Colin cracks himself up somehow, and it's like a continuous 3 minutes of him just cracking up while he tells us to continue.
He's at home doing this too. His family's just looking at like.
Sitting at dinner, he makes one comment. All of a sudden, he's just sitting there for 5 minutes cracking up.
No, because they don't say Gundams.
The way you said it.
I'm a very special customer.
If they
who
do,
likes to order the Gundams.
Does he say that to be funny or
no?
That's what he says. Like,
he says it. Gundams.
You take somebody with an interest that it would know how to pronounce it. But, you know, whatever. Oh. It's his favorite. It's his favorite customer.
Go ahead. You were his favorite customer.
Yeah, that too.
Go ahead, Josh.
Are you done?
I'm
no,
done.
Descender. Well, Descent. No, Descender was really good, and it was a thicker one. I didn't realize that because I read it as a PDF, so you're not really counting pages; you're just flying through it. But I thought the art was great. It was like a watercolor.
Yeah, it was Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen.
Dustin Nguyen, yeah.
But yeah, like rough lines, watercolor.
All we are is Dustin Nguyen. <Nguyen. laughs>
I've never even thought of that before.
You said it last week, too.
Really?
I thought of it.
You thought it. You didn't hear him think it.
And this time I said it.
I don't want to know Adam's thoughts most of the time.
He went home, he's like, oh, I hope they say it again next week.
I was just like, I haven't been waiting for it.
This is going to kill. It's going to kill, Jerry. It's going to kill.
I'm on the edge. Don't do it.
That is what happened, then.
Compose yourself.
I'm good. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, I thought Descender was really very interesting.
Yeah.
And then, basically, this event happens.
One thing you see also in the beginning, before the attack, there's this doctor who is, like, the prominent, you know, mind behind robotics, and he survived the attack. So these people, like, kind of seek him out who were conducting their own investigation. They're the ones that found out that his robot, that Tim, has some shared, like, programmer codex to these Harvesters. So it's unclear, you know.
And he's like, but they're all, they've all been destroyed. And they're like, no, one just reawakened. And then
everyone's dead in that mining colony, too, where he woke up.
Yes, yeah. Well, I assume it seems like it had been a long time.
Yeah.
And they probably just died naturally.
Well, what, didn't he walk in that one room and, like, there's just.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So something happened. Yeah, something happened. You know. But, and then it's him at the end, and they're like, yeah, he just activated and he called for help. But help arrived, or someone arrived, but it wasn't.
It's like mercenaries or something, yeah.
But I thought it was very good, very interesting.
And that book has already been picked up for a movie deal by Sony Pictures.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, before it even.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well for it.
Yeah.
Really?
Sony? Yeah.
Sony?
Oh, they're going to change everything. All of a sudden, the kid's going to be black. Yeah. No.
Okay. He's been making
that was Fox. I'm sorry, not Sony.
Sony may do that too, but Sony's now has like four potential Ghostbuster movies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what's up with
this
that?
This is worse news than the original news with Ghostbusters, because now it's like we're going to make Ghostbusters into some huge universe.
Yeah.
All these franchises. And
it's a multiverse of Ghostbusters.
Like, it was one thing when they said, we're going to have an all-female like team. Why do you have to like make it all-female? Why can't it be mixed? Like, I don't know.
A-Force?
My problem is...
A-Ghostbusters?
My problem is, by saying all-female team, it makes it's kind of like, forced.
You're pandering to women because women don't like the original Ghostbusters. They felt left out.
Well, I thought this female one, it's not,
thought any possible
it's not connected to the
supposedly. The we don't original, know now.
Right? We don't know what's going on.
But now that they've come out and said, and now we're going to have a male-themed one, too, so why do we have to have
we already have two a male
and then in movie three, they'll meet...
They'll be like, what's going on here?
Ghostbusters versus Ghostbusters.
It'll be like Flintstones meets the Jetsons.
We're a transgendered themed team.
They have to.
Ghostbusters are
an all vertically challenged
Crisis
team.
On Ghostbusters Earths, is that what you mean?
Well, Peter Dinklage is going to need to have a dwarf some kind team. After Game of Thrones, he's going to have to do something.
That last name, man. Go ahead, Dave.
That's it.
You're done? Go ahead. Josh.
Imperium number 2 came out last week. So the premise of Imperium, Toyo Harada has been
it's very confusing.
Did you read number 2?
No, I didn't read 2, but when you explained 1 to me and I realized I kind of missed half the book.
Yeah.
I know I read
didn't
it.
Understand. No, I read it, but I didn't understand that it was all a dream and it was
Toyo Harada has been like a veiled villain. Throughout Harbinger.
Right, I got that.
And he's now finally being seen as a villain on the world stage. So he has, in the first issue, all his followers, he kind of gave them this vision of this utopian future, saying that if you follow him and,
he will come.
And do what he says, even if it's, violent and not... Are you okay?
He's never going to finish this sentence.
Every word I say, calling it a shit-eating grin, it starts cracking up.
I just went to Dustin to win.
He shouldn't be here anymore.
I shouldn't. 9 o'clock is my bedtime, man. I gotta shut it down.
He did this part where he just was good. And then he had this whole conversation with you, and nothing was happening. Yeah. Then something stopped.
His
and
mind
he
was able to wander. You got to keep him.
Every podcast,
going.
He's the tough guy for the first hour. Then the second hour, he's the class clown.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I got tired. Go ahead.
So he gives him this vision of this utopian future and says, "Go along with his plan, even though people are going to die. It's going to be very violent. They're going to be looked at as villains." It's for the greater good, and it's going to create this utopian future. So that's what the first issue sets up. And now the second issue, it's showing this other, shady organization called Project Rising Spirit, who has been always a foil to Harada's Harbinger Foundation, another, with government ties. But instead of dealing with psyops, they deal with these... people that they can download powers into, but they can only download one power at a time. And that's where we had, the Hard Corps and Bloodshot was involved with them for a while. So, Harada, we don't see a whole lot of him in the second issue, but we find out that he has essentially taken his whole group, and they're essentially a terrorist organization now, but they have essentially declared themselves as being a sovereign entity that if... the rest of the nations of the world can't, solve the problems they're going, that they'll solve them for them. So they're going against these other, nations where there's been conflicts and also other terrorist organizations. So now we're seeing Project Rising Spirit and other, government entities almost giving, different terrorist organizations and conflict areas weapons to combat Harada. So I think, and it's not clear, but it starts off with a team from Project Rising Spirit in the Middle East, and there's talk about ISIS. I wasn't sure if they were actually giving this group who is supposed to be ISIS or if it's just a Middle Eastern country weapons to that are essentially psyop dampeners, so that way Harada's soldiers can't combat them. But the main person in this book is one of the Project Rising Spirit operatives named Gravedog, who I haven't, seen before. I don't know if he's been in the Bloodshot and Hard Corps book at all, but he's the leader of this strike team, and he finds a mole or suspects there's some sort of mole that's working for Herodas, they put together this operation to try and out the mole and see what information is being leaked. And it leads to a pretty big and pretty violent twist at the end. So I don't want to give it away since it's only issue two. But it was really, you know, I was worried at first because it didn't focus a lot on, again, the people you saw in the first issue. But it was really engaging in setting up a huge conflict for this book. So it's been, so far, a really, you know, fun, fast-paced book. Other book, Swamp Thing 40, the finale for Swamp Thing. Are any of you guys still reading that at all?
Yeah, I did.
You did? So this was... I wasn't sure at first because the book's almost being told like someone's telling a story. Mm. And with how it ends, you know, I don't know if it's Swamp Thing reading the story or what's going on.
I was so confused by it. Yeah. It seemed like they were like breaking the fourth wall or something.
A little bit, yeah.
And that's what the news article said about getting out of the book.
Which he's done before. He did it a little bit with the annual, or not the annual, but the Future's End tie-in.
Yeah. And it seemed like I don't know. It wasn't that the book was that, like, I don't think it was, like, great. I thought they kind of, the ending was rushed. Ended real quick. But I guess it had to be because they were going to end it with this anyway.
I thought the book was great except for the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Portions. If that's, you took that out, then I would have felt like the book was...
I think there was a lot they were trying to explain within that, what you were just talking about, the fourth wall stuff, and not so much focused on the enemy, because once they took out the enemy, which is Lady Weeds, or the Machine Queen, mm-hmm. It seemed like, okay, because it happened so fast that she was done. Like, they fought, she was done.
Yeah.
The end. But I don't know. I mean...
The biggest step in this book was seeing the, you know, transformation of Alec Holland from being, he's been for a while now since, you know, Charles Soule took over, very human in a way. Like he's been very, you know, arrogant, indecisive, more emotional. And now suddenly he is, you know, being very, you know, of action, bringing back all these former avatars of the Green, you know, taking his place as being, you know, in charge of it, but also recognizing he needs their help as well and building this army out.
And they made it out, like, in the last issue, the previous issue, that, like, he was sitting on his knees, like, he was just like, no, like, he did something wrong. And then at this, he's just, like, still sitting on his knees. Then he gets up and is like, oh, yeah, but you guys still work for me now. I was like, why were you all depressed before? But
He essentially says... I will get rid of you again if I have to, but I'm the leader of the Green.
He let them out, but they work for him, is basically how it works.
But and he puts together one army. He puts together one army to come with him into our world to battle against the machines and the fungus and the rot.
Yeah.
While others stay behind in the Green to try and cleanse the Green of the rot since Anton Arcane infected it.
Did they kill the fungus one? She died?
Yeah, she got killed.
And so did Cedar.
Cedar died, but Cedar was on his side, but he did end up dying.
They died at the same time. Like, they had them laying next to each other, right?
Yeah, because wasn't he the one that killed her?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think in a way she killed him as this.
He just, like, cold clocked her and she was done.
She was done, yeah, which I didn't understand how you kill fungus like that. I just was just like, okay.
I mean, you're just killing the avatar.
Punched him and that fungus in his face. And
his hand was covered in bleach.
The reason why all these other avatars died is because once they leave the Green, if they're not the actual, like, current avatar, if they're not tied to some sort of, you know, body, I guess, they eventually, like, will decay and lose their connection to the Green. So the ones that followed him knew they were following him to their
death. He can't, like,
take
their scraps, I guess, and just, throw them into that pond.
Into a compost heap.
Yeah, just like, it'll be all right. They'll come out and be like, just kill me.
Like the big heap in Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
So the fungus got killed. Swamp Thing decimated Lady Weeds once it was one-on-one between them.
Yeah, Anton Arcane, like, just flew off.
Yeah, which...
He just is like, I'm out of here. This is
it didn't really show if he completely, you know, lost his power with the
I don't think he did.
Rot.
Yeah, they never really explained it, but I doubt he did.
The tie-in with Future's End shows him... and Abigail kind of both you know, being in charge, where King they're trying to, like, merge together.
Yeah, and you know what? I think out of all of those futures end titles, like, that was those my favorite. Issues, I think that was good. I think it'll be the only one that really somehow ties into this.
Yeah.
That it all depends on where the next writer goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I... Did they mention a Swamp Thing on a list for me?
Not yet.
New book. I have a feeling it will be, but it'll
There's another announcement of... books coming.
So I have a feeling we'll get another Swamp Thing book, because it's done very well.
I hope so. I mean, they got really lucky with... I mean, they had Snyder on there for...
Yeah.
Through issue 18.
And it was
Then Charles Soule, who at the time was pretty unknown.
I think the transition between Snyder and Soule was a good transition. I mean, it still had the same feel to it. What about the... Okay, now, the fourth wall stuff, dealing with the book...
That
he
was
goes
weird.
And flies into the library. He absorbs into the book
because
it's been a paper, but it turns out it's a
with some
a world
sort
of
like
own?
Kingdom. Also, yeah,
or like
that was
some sort of knowledge kingdom or something.
That was weird.
I don't know, but they were wanting to welcome him. They were just like, "You're not ready, you know yet." But
well, they said he could come in. He could come in now, but it was his choice.
Yeah.
And then when he decided to leave, they said he can decide to change his mind and come back, but he should. Do so quickly because the story is coming to an end or something.
Yeah,
to that effect.
That was kind of the thing. It was really confusing,
that's
a little weird.
Yeah, it was weird. That was maybe the one point in the book, aside from the, you know, little fourth wall things. It was just, what's going on here?
Yeah,
I don't
the
understand.
Kingdoms are getting a little confusing too, because there's just so many different ones, and like the machines, they're new and fungus. So then we're gonna have what
the machine
bacteria
makes sense,
is
and
the other one.
Those ones make sense, but this like literary thing,
yeah.
You know, my only problem with that is, why would you do something that drastically different on your last issue?
Yeah.
Like, if you have this idea, why wouldn't you do that earlier whenever you're going to be around?
Yeah, how
to
do we know if the next writer is really going to go with that? I mean, sometimes writers leave, like, things to work for.
Just left that for when his Marvel contract's up and
he
comes back.
Yeah, he'll come back to it.
Just little loose threads in case.
I don't
leave
know
wanting
the,
more.
I don't know if the machines make much sense either, because machines are a man-made thing, like books.
Yeah,
so I feel like they'd be the same type of thing. Everything else is kind of a what builds what.
Yeah, but every sort of
becomes the world
work of fiction for the past few decades have all toyed the idea of machines becoming sentient, essentially living creatures.
So they kind of
it
see
makes
that.
Sense.
So they kind of build their own kingdom in a way, which is what they did. They built their own kingdom.
And
he
didn't decimate the or kill off all the entire machine kingdom at the end. He created out of the remaining parts of Lady Weeds a small robotic dog.
Yeah.
And locked it in a room with a plug into the wall and essentially said to it, "You're young, you made a mistake, think about what you've done. Whenever you decide you can, get along with others, you can get out of here through being plugged in, but do not come back into the world until you're ready or else will kill
you." It seemed like he had two plugs there. Like he had a power outlet plugged in. Next to it was an empty outlet, which looked like an internet outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one he was talking about, that he was saying that.
No.
I could be wrong, because I was wondering why they drew an internet outlet, because it is there. Like, they have an internet outlet.
Yeah,
like
but they've
DSL,
showed them,
like
travel just through power lines.
Yeah, so I figured they just travel through that. So I didn't understand that part. Yeah. Maybe that was just, they just felt like drawing that there since it was there and it had nothing to do with it. But
it's for the YouTube videos. Though. In a closet locked up. Yeah. House of Cards or something.
Wasn't that the one with the horizontal cover? Like, you had to flip the book?
Yeah, because it had all of the...
Avatar,
all those different avatars on it. Yeah.
The whole cool. Green guys. The raptor died.
What's that?
The raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one, the green avatar from the prehistoric era.
There was the Stegosaurus, too, right?
I think there is.
There was a lot of different
avatars.
There was
died. Yeah, I think the Russian one died. That blue one got decapitated, which I looked at. I was just like, couldn't he just, like, he's a plant. Doesn't he just put his head back on and it would just grow back to normal?
The blue one was the clone.
Oh, is that what it was?
So that was,
they were
both Alec Holland.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Detective Comics? Any guys reading
that? Yeah, I did. That was good, too.
So that was good. That wrapped up the Anarchy arc. Best part about this book still has been like the partnership between Bullock and Batman.
That's the best thing about the Bat family of books, is that they all have kind of a division on what they are, like that being the Bullock, Batman working with the cops, but mainly Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Batman is the main Batman book. Batman and Robin is Batman and Robin. You know,
yeah.
They have that, you know, good structure to those books.
We find out that all the people that have been, you know, on Anarchy's side have been mind controlled through the masks.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that was maybe a bit ridiculous. But
well, I.
I think it downplays a little bit. I think it would be more
because at the
of
end
a scary. They're making a left turn.
People can't stop.
Yeah.
It's
more of a scary prospect if all those people were actually, you know, following his message, which Alfred, you know, says that flat out, that, you know, it's better that it was this way than they were actually buying into what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, because he they weren't at all. They were all, and that's why Alfred couldn't do anything about it when he was talking to him, because they were mind controlled. It wasn't like they were. Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd. It made no sense with Anarchy, because it's just like nobody's actually listening to you.
Yeah,
you're just telling them what they want to hear. So yeah. You're how you know, are you better than the Mad Hatter? I mean, didn't really get that. I like the art. I really do like the art.
Good.
I think the art. It's not like, if you remember when they started, they did Flash very bright looking, which is just like, okay, that works with Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And then their transition into Detective Comics, it was a little brighter still. They didn't do the darkness yet. I think they've toned it down a little bit, but it still looks
nice.
And
I know you disagree a little bit, Pat, but I think they've done a good job of making it the book bright, but feel dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like there's a lot of colors in here, but it still feels like it's, you know, dark and kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think they have too.
Grim.
I think they've done better in this issue, though, this arc, better than the last. I think the arc before that, they weren't out of Flash yet. It seemed like they
definitely had to find their footing a little bit. It wasn't bad by any means, the first arc, but
no,
it was definitely
a bit. I think this has been the best run of Detective Comics for a long time, because Tony S. Daniels was on it for
probably since Snyder was on before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, they did a switch, like, before New 52. They were both on the opposite books. Snyder was on Detective, and Tony S. Daniel was on Batman, right after Grant Morrison. And it was just, like,
I thought he was doing
really
the Dark Knight.
No, Finch.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot of, like, martial arts stories that he was telling. There was one that we were just talking about yesterday where maybe that wasn't Tony. No, I don't think that was him. There was one I remember where it was this woman with a big hole in her head, but I don't think that was Tony.
No, that was Batman and Robin. Yeah. That was Morrison. Or that's, somebody.
It was
Tomasi.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, they had like they switched those two. Yeah, in New 52, and then Tony S. Daniels was no good on Detective. That was the story with the Joker losing his face. I was just thought, okay, whatever. You know, it wasn't big. And then Tomasi,
because Detective seemed like he was trying to be normal Batman, not Detective Comics.
It was very odd. And then who took over for it for a while, and it was okay?
Layman,
Yeah, that was okay. But I think this has been the better
this has
run.
Been really,
they finally got
really
their foot in with Detective.
And we get it teases at the end with Lonnie.
Which I'm wondering if that's what today's issue is about, a little bit of that.
The end game thing,
Lonnie was definitely the character in it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why he painted Joker smile on his face, but we'll learn about that as
we
read the book.
You'll see. I read it. It explains
Who are you?
It.
Was it good?
You'll see. You'll see.
Was it good? Okay. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah,
I'd rather
good.
You not tell me.
Yeah.
So you can use that.
Well, and basically they painted the mask because they were dealing with the Jokerized people and said basically they're not zombies. It's not like they're smelling brains. By painting the Joker smile on the mask, the Joker people
Smoker.
Saw that. They move away from
He's
him.
One
they
of us.
Attack, exactly.
We were trying to think. I was trying to think of that That's name right. a little earlier. Lonnie.
Yeah.
He was the original Anarchy. And then, like, in the end of New 52, he became, like, this character that was entering computers. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Did
at the
you
end
that?
Of New 52?
I'm sorry, at the end before New 52.
Okay.
When New 52
he ended,
started.
It ended in his mind.
There was a red there was a Red Robin.
Actually, technically, this
book.
Is the end
of New
52.
The end of New 52,
yeah. I was right then. Shut it. No. You'll see. Anyways, Red Robin had anarchy. It was Lonnie. He's been in a coma, and then he like entered like a computer world. That he would talk to
freaking Tron all over again.
He would talk to him through that.
Finally.
Yeah. Jeez.
We're gonna have to get Colin safety scissors.
He can't cut the dividers with those. And that's comic books for this. No. I don't know.
Well, and the last one I'll mention, Grayson. So this issue, what's that?
I fell behind on that.
It's been pretty good the past few issues. And this issue,
he was on the satellite or something.
Yeah, now he's back. He's back at the school now, but. This issue is going to be a big status quo change for the book. So it starts off with two confessions going on at the same time, and it's, you know, alternating panels. And it's we were on for a little bit. You remember the, like the director of Minos,
the swirly face guy.
Yeah. So he's confessing to a reporter and to Bertinelli that he is actually, you know, working against Spiral, that he is just trying to get the organs for himself, and he ends up taking Bertinelli's crossbow and shooting her with it, shooting her in the heart.
Shot with your own crossbow.
So she's dead?
She's not dead, because you find out that when she's not, when the crossbow is holstered, when she's not using it, she keeps the sights off a little bit.
Oh.
So she actually, he missed her heart and got her like off to the side.
Non-heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's confessing to this reporter because he's, you know, I can't remember if he was trying to sell it or if he's just trying to, you know, out Spiral for what they were. And it keeps flashing back between him telling the story to this reporter and what's going on at the school. So, you end up with Grayson combating Minos with Agent One after there's like a section where Grayson is in Mr. Grayson mode teaching gymnastics, and his students are giving names to his ass. One side's called Juan, the other side's called Jim.
Yeah, they. Yeah. That's a big thing right now with
kids these days.
Nightwing. It's something like that. The news, comic news sites keep mentioning that it's all about Nightwing's butt.
Well, I think I think the reason
there's an event's coming up for sure.
The Nightwing's butt.
I think the reason why it's getting so much news, and I've seen this in a few places, is because it's not often you see a male character that's like sexually objectified.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess, a nice change, so it's not just
at least these female characters. At least in the eyes of women, though.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying like I want to sit here and
no, what I'm saying is nice you butt, have all these characters, and that's what I don't understand about that whole argument, which you have characters like Power Girl, who they're always pointing out, and it's just like, yeah, but then you have Superman and Batman, who are just ginormous in size, and it's just like...
But they're also covered head to toe, though.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, Batman's only showing this.
That's true. But I guess who... How many characters are doing that? Just Power Girl, basically. That's about it. What? That are showing that much skin.
Well, Starfire. She's showing cleavage. Wonder Woman is wearing a bathing suit.
Yeah, but Starfire's it's not like wearing there's women anything. Out there that do that.
When fighting crime?
I guess. I don't know. How many women are out there fighting crime and bathing suits? If you're a female cop or soldier whatever. And you're wearing it. Obviously, it works.
You know, the whole time I was in the Army, we never deployed with bikini girls.
No. I'm sorry.
Despite the wrong division. Despite the letters you wrote.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my recruiter lied to me.
Dear President. But
I will say this. It works in that it adds some humor to the book. It makes the book a little bit lighthearted because you have all these female students here who are, you know, talking about him. And then whenever, you know, it hits the fan, and he's going to off to try and, you know, save Bertinelli and stop Minos. Then they decide to, you know, go with him and try and help him, you know, stop the threat.
Well, because of Juan and Jim, or whatever.
Yeah, Juan and Jim.
You know, the thing is that like I don't really care about like
his butt.
No, I don't care about. I don't
no,
care.
No,
about that.
I care about his butt.
I don't care about the. These characters, they're not real. Like, they're cartoon characters. Like, It's just one of those things I look at. I'm just like, yeah, maybe there's a bunch of guys out there that are looking at these people as real women. And I'm using A-Force as an example because there's a bunch of characters. It's all of Marvel's female characters.
I just think it's a minor thing they can do to, you know, make possible female readers, you know, feel like the playing field's a bit.
Yeah, I could see that too. So, I just feel like, why don't they just stop doing what they're doing?
I would agree.
Put a pair of pants on Wonder Woman, you know.
Which she
tried.
She was supposed to. At the
start. But I don't know what the Themyscarians wear.
All the promo art for the beginning of New 52 had her wearing like pants, and then suddenly when the issues shipped, she was wearing
she's back no to pants that. Again. Maybe she fights better than that. I don't know. I haven't asked her. She's not real. Yeah. I can't ask her. I can't tell her, stop it.
Apparently you can't stop crime in yoga pants, but you can in a bathing suit.
Yep.
So the...
Rogue's fully. She's got a jacket and everything. So.
She's dead.
Oh, well.
The issue ends.
Wow.
Rescues in a suit of armor.
So. Grayson stops Minos, but you find out that it's not really Minos. It was some projection he, you know, put in place so he could escape. But he stops him and Paragon, and then it goes back to Minos and Reporter, and you find out the Reporter is actually working for Spiral, and it looks to be a Kathy Kane. And as he's about to explain, you know, what his motivations are, she just says she doesn't care and kills him. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the dynamic's going to be after the 2-month hiatus with Spiral and what, you know, Grayson's role will be.
I'm a little surprised that that's going to continue that way, that they're not going to bring him back into the Batman fold.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to – I feel like he's going to come back. Into,
I think eventually, but it's
– it depends on how well received this book is.
It's been good. Like, the past few issues, I think they've started to really find
their footing. I haven't really had a problem with it. Some issues I've read that I was just like, yeah, it was okay.
I just think it's been hit and miss. That's like an e-book. And that's –
But I think the past, like, 3 or 4 issues have been all hits to me. Colin.
Me.
You can keep together for a few seconds.
I like how you ended that with, like, well, I thought they were good. Colin.
Shiny endorsement.
All new Hawkeye number 1. Now, I had not read the last, I can say year, but that's only 2 issues.
You didn't read the last issue of the previous one. Well, no one else has either.
But I haven't read the last batch of Hawkeye, but I thought this one was good with Lemire. It devoted a lot of time to his backstory with his brother growing up. And then there was a lot of stuff with him and Kate and fighting Hydra, which seemed very much like what the Fraction run had been. But the backstory, I thought, was very good, especially very Lemire-esque.
Yeah.
They had the watercolor.
Especially if you've read, like, Essex County and stuff, it definitely had that feel.
The backstory, I think, was the best part.
Yeah.
Because that was the part that really had, like you said, Lemire's stamp on it.
Yeah.
The part that was taking place in, you know, the now felt very much like it just a continuation of the Fraction.
Yeah.
That's exactly how they should have done it.
It is.
Well, but not if Fraction's going to end his run.
No, but.
It kind of steps on the story.
No, not really. I don't think
that would. The art-wise, I don't think it matters in that. I think what happened, what's good about this is that people, whether or not the book was still well-received
early on. No, it was.
Until the end, and then that's when it started to go. And to make that transition, what people were comfortable with a Hawkeye book, because it's not every day that you get a Hawkeye book that you're just like, oh, wow, this is selling really well. In this case, that book was, and transitioning the art into that, I think, doesn't hurt it. Because I think they had something, and they kept it.
Yeah.
And I think they kept they took what was best about the book, and they kept it. That was
I hope we're getting Lemire's Hawkeye and not Lemire trying to give us Fraction's Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's yeah, and I think with the little backup, like the backup story, not the backup story. It was the flashbacks. Yeah. They had its own type of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? The art might just be the transition into the book, and then after that, they'll change artists. I mean, it is Marvel, so they'll probably change it within a few issues into it. We'll have a new artist on it. So
I mean, even the art's fine.
It might change and turn into what it is.
Close, but it was different enough. Like, it wasn't quite as stylized as the art in Fraction's run. What really impressed me, though, was that the same artist did both the flashback and the the modern one.
They're very different.
It was different colors for the flashbacks.
Yeah, and it was very watercolor for the flashbacks.
Yeah. It was when you think back in time, you're thinking all watercolory.
Yeah. Right.
It's all kind of hazy.
So that's how you think. Yeah. Hazy and,
it's like the 40s for him.
It's all black and white. And,
I meant your 40s, not the 1940s, Colin.
There's no sound. Yeah, your 40s.
Just a piano playing in the background.
Like Warner. No sound except for the piano. Hey, I wasn't the only one who joined in on this. Don't look at me.
Cue cards pop up. So, Colin really hates Adam right now.
I see have Guardians team up on their next.
I do have Guardians team up on their next, which was, if you liked the movie, this was the book for you. It has the Guardians facing whatever those bad guys were that...
paper people?
No.
The Sikarsen? Or Sikarans?
I think those were...
Yeah, whatever the
ones from Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
No. It was the guys that Ronan the Accuser was commanding all of his army.
Oh, the Necro, whatever.
So it was fighting them, and then the event, because it comes to Earth, and then the Avengers help them, which was a little weird because you had Spider-Woman in her old costume, and she was kind of the main focus of the Avengers. And this was right after I just read the new Spider-Woman book, which,
she had a
was
very costume. Different.
How was that book after Spider-Woman?
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. And then at the very end, it's a character very familiar to you if you had never read a comic book but had seen the Guardians movie. A character steps out looking exactly like they did in the movie. Nebula. So it was very much completely, if you'd never read anything, it was for the movie crowd. Now the problem is they decided to use Art Adams' art, which is great. Except this book was supposed to come out in January. It was probably supposed to come out closer to when the DVD came out. Then you had issue 2 this week, and you have issue 3 next week, because issue 3 is a Black Vortex cross part. So all of a sudden we have 3 weekly issues.
That's a lot in 1 month.
That's a lot in 1 month, and it's a lot for people to take. And then when number 4 ships 2 months from now, it's going to just be a disaster. So... like I said, it was very good if you just saw the movie and liked the movie, but I don't know if it ties in with anything else. It just seemed very movie-focused. And she literally looks exactly like Karen Gillan on the last page. The other problem is, issue 2 is not Art Adams. It's a completely different artist in a different art style. And it's the second part of the book. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those, what are you doing, Marvel? So, not bad, but just one of those just kind of thrown out there money grab is what it feels like. Next one was Never Boy, which is a book from Dark Horse. Very interesting. A guy going around, he's in an ER, and he's trying to get drugs, and he finally, this one person, had a drug overdose and goes on the table, and they take his clothes off, and he steals a pill from the guy's pocket. And he keeps talking about how he's almost come back down. And he's trying to get home and this weird stuff. But basically what happens is it turns out that he has to stay high. Because if he comes back, these people are going to catch him. And he has this memory of him being a sidekick of a hero in the neighborhood. And his name was Never Boy as the sidekick. And it turns out that this never really existed. It's only when he was high, and he's just about to come down at the end, and these bad guys are trying to get him. It was very weird, very, very hard to figure out what was going on through most of it.
He's high all the time.
Say no to drugs.
Yeah, but it was interesting. It was weird, but not bad, but different, and I like different. So it was good. I enjoyed it. And then the last one I have is Spider-Woman 5, which was good. On its own, it was basically she now is going to try to be a private investigator. She still is Spider-Woman, but she's quit the Avengers. She's no longer living in Avengers Mansion. She's trying to find a place to live.
Did she do quit? That before?
Probably. So she's going back to that. She just feels like she needs to get her head together.
And she's got to work some stuff out. That's
all. Yeah.
Could this
Spider-Verse was a lot to take in.
The number one.
This should have been number one. Yeah, it's a bad trap Marvel does. I noticed they've done it for a bunch of books where they launch them into event. Like the first Mighty Avengers was launched into, Infinity.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember going way back, Captain Britain and MI6 or whatever it was, or MI13 or whatever it was launched into Secret Invasion, I think.
I think it was.
So it's just they like to launch the books into that as a tie-in because then they get that bump in sales.
Right.
And like Spider-Woman launched into Spider-Verse, and now this is issue 5, which has nothing to do with that at all.
Bump in sales, how does that help them when, in the long run, it probably kills the book?
Because, well, there is going to be...
I probably would have picked up the book if it was a standalone, but being that it tied into the Spider-Verse, I knew that's where it was going to go, and I didn't pick it up. Thus, I probably won't now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My problem is, like, in the first trade is in the previews, and it's, like, issues 1 through 4. It's like, well, that ties in with Spider-Verse. There's no way that can stand alone if you didn't read Spider-Verse. It's not, and it also includes a reprint of her first appearance in Marvel Premiere, which makes no sense, especially given the fact that they're...
They gotta have the 5th book in there.
Yeah, and given the fact that they're changing the costume and everything.
And I just...
I almost see them numbering this as number 1 as well.
Yeah.
They renumber number ones all the time. Why not?
I don't understand why they do this one like this. They bring it out with the event, but then they bring out Spider-Gwen and Silk as their own number ones after the event.
Right.
Like, what's
this would have been a perfect use of their big number one here with a little number 5 down here.
I thought you were going to tell me you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you're absolutely right. It would have been.
When it makes sense.
Maybe.
But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I can't remember what the ending was. Yeah. So...
A big empty spot up here.
That's about all I read, but it's hard to believe that's all I read because I had a big stack of books.
It's not hard to believe for us.
You guys incorporated my entire list, so I don't know anything
about that. Okay, good, because we're like well over 2 hours here. Yeah. We're 2.5 hours. So let's hit next week. One thing, it's a little one. It's Ace Magazine number 1, and I always enjoy when these magazines come out. You know, since Wizard left, there hasn't really been a whole lot. We'll give this one a shot. It's an $8 book. We'll see. But I'm glad to see somebody's giving it a shot. We have All New X-Men number 39, which is a Black Vortex tie-in. The only reason I'm pointing this out is we had issue 36, 38, 37 this week, and 39 next week. So Marvel has forgotten how to count. We have Amazing Spider-Man 16.1, which I think I...
That's that spiral.
Or no, it's just whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's one of those... Oh, boy, I really ordered low on that. Okay.
What'd you order?
40, where Amazing I normally Spider-Man order 60 Spider-Mans.
And then we had Spider-Man Special today.
Yeah.
We had a special, which then goes into Inhuman, and I think the third part is in the new Kazar book. No, I don't. Batgirl 40, Batman Eternal 50, almost to the end, Batman Superman 20, Batwoman 40, that's the last issue of that one, Chrononauts comes out next week. I read a PDF of that one, sent to me by Mark Miller, which was really cool. I am, and then I responded back to him, and he replied back to me, so that was very cool. I have a poster, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 covers coming, so pick the one you like.
How was it?
It was good. It was very good. I enjoyed it. The art was great because it's Sean Murphy. So I'm going to be telling you to buy it anyway. Obviously, it was excellent.
It's not explained anymore. That's all I need to tell you.
But it was neat because then after I read this, I read Pastaways, which is the new Matt Kent book from Dark Horse. And the difference is this is two guys who are time travelers and their uniforms are their time capsules. So they don't need something big complicated. But as the first guy goes in, actually the guy in the back, as he goes into the time stream, something goes wrong and he gets sent to the wrong place. And then the other guy has to go and try to save him. So that's kind of what's going on there. So I'm reading Pastaways. I'm like, oh, it's another time travel book. But the Pastaways is interesting because it's people from either 1,000 years ahead or 10,000 years have come back to our time. And it's like they've time traveled back and crashed here, and now they have to figure out to get home.
I mentioned that a few weeks ago. They had a preview in Dark Horse.
Okay, yeah, I actually need to read that because I think that really sets everything up.
Matt Kent is writing so much.
He is. Well, not as much as Cullen Bunn. My God, I was looking every time I turn around. Cullen Bunn has a new book.
Matt Kent's writing like half of Valiant's line currently.
Yeah. Divinity 2 for you. Fly Outbreak, which is a sequel to the movie Fly. You remember Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. There was a sequel to that. Eric Stoltz.
Well, then this is another one. Frankenstein Underground, which is a new...
The Fly universe.
Yeah. Frankenstein Underground, which is a new one from Mike Mignola from the Hellboy verse. Giant Days, I'm not sure what that is. I meant to look that up. Sorry. That's a Boom, I believe. Guardians Team Up number 3, that's also a Black Vortex, as well as the all-new X-Men, if anybody's reading that.
The event that changes everything for until
everything. Until the pizza.
Yeah. Invisible Republic, that's an Image one. Ivar Timewalker.
Nice.
Jack Kirby, Mr. Miracle Artist Edition. Manhattan Project, Sun Beyond the Stars, which I think is... I don't know, remember if that one, like, ended, and now they're starting a new thing, or if it's a new miniseries splitting out of it.
I've been reading Trade.
Okay, good. Yeah. I got behind. Orphan Black is next week. That one, I believe, did really well. I know I sold a bunch of those. Outcast, which seems like it's been gone for a long time.
Yeah,
well,
I haven't seen it.
Princess Leia 2, so...
That just feels like it came out last week.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know.
Red One, number one, which I think is Frank Cho. Somebody, it's an Image one with some really good artists. It's like basically Russian 1970s spy, but she's a very busty spy.
So it's aren't they all?
So that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Secret Identities 2 for me and Dave. Actually, I
read that too.
I need to bump my orders. I only ordered 5 of number 2. I need to bump my numbers on that one. Silk, number 2. And I do have the Phantom variant coming on that one as well. What are you talking about? What you talking
actually,
about, Willis?
I didn't love it, but...
Debbie it was okay. Yeah. Strange Sports Stories. That's the... from... if not Vertigo, it's DC. That's got the CM Punk story in it. Superman 39. And Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 3. That's everybody's late. Favorite.
Yep.
Oh, boy!
Superman's late.
It is. I'm sorry.
That's comic books.
But... So, yeah, we'll probably... should get 40 next week. That's going to be interesting if any of the DC books slip, because then that means they're going to then... Well,
slip them out during
as long as they can come out the 1st, on April 1st, because all of the weeklies start the 2nd week of April.
Yeah.
So that gives them does give them a 1 week buffer. Because I'm thinking, because Batman's not on this list either. So we still need Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman. All those are either going to come out the last week or the 1st week of April. So, but it's kind of nice they now have 2 months to
get caught up,
get their act together.
Yeah.
Nothing slipped horribly. We've had very few books like Superman has slipped a month. I'm guessing that might have to do with the art.
The only books throughout 52 that
Justice
really
League slipped, but it came back.
A little bit. It came back. Forever Evil obviously slipped. And I think Justice League was a casualty.
I agree.
Just like Nightwing was.
Yeah.
And then Superman Unchained slipped because
that wasn't
Jim Lee.
We knew that wasn't going to be a monthly anyway. Like Sandman, we knew it wasn't.
But everything else
is
kind of
kept. It missed a little bit, but not much. I mean, they never shipped them out of order. But until next week,
Adam.
That's my guess.
We'll talk to you later. See ya. Cars, me, I'm trying to build.
messing up in your mind during this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk, for all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs, for all the villains that he's scheming on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch a chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes.